We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right. Welcome to episode 23 of The Corner. Can't believe we made it this far. I'm Kel Dansby.
And I'm Andreas Hale.
And we are two journalists who cover wrestling, boxing, MMA, but we also love hip-hop. If you haven't heard us by now, what the hell is taking you so long?
Yeah, y'all stupid, man. Get it together. And if I'm saying y'all stupid, y'all already listening, so I don't mean you. Like, tell a neighbor. Tell a neighbor you haven't listened to The Corner, you're an idiot.
The person right next to you. Be like, yo, have you heard this? They say no. Be like, you're an idiot. Today, we're talking about Chris Brown's stupid tattoo, WWE SummerSlam, NXT, Monday Night Raw. We got some UFC mixed into it.
Yeah, got to talk Rousey and Holly Holm.
Some good boxing coming up this weekend that we're covering. Two different fights. I say good loosely in one of our cases. Right. And then we're also going to talk Mayweather because we're going to his open workout. And so that fight's creeping up on us too. But first, we have to talk about the fight you're covering this weekend.
Unfortunately.
And the fact that Mayorga completely took this to, like, a beyond Drake level by touching Shane Mosley's girl's ass at the press conference.
Yo, I don't know if this is all a work, but this is, like, a great story for a fight that might not be horrible between two washed-up fighters. Two completely washed-up guys.
Two horrible fighters can produce a good fight, is what you're saying.
Have you seen people fight at a bar?
Yeah.
You've seen people fight on Worldstar? This is where Mosley Mayorga is. This is exactly what it is. Look, Mosley's still got a little bit left. He's got Sean Porter and Kenny Porter still training him. He's still guys he can still beat. But yeah, the press conference, Mayorga, completely disrespectful. Slaps Shane's girl on the ass.
And she wows out on him.
Like she's never had her ass slapped before.
Which we know probably isn't the truth.
Yeah, she's had her ass slapped
before. Yeah, I mean, you know.
You know, pre-Shane, she definitely had her ass slapped
before. Easily, but she was taken aback. Like, she's a new woman.
Yo, she cried.
She's like Drea. Like, her wholeness got deleted. Do not touch my ass anymore.
Yeah.
She flipped out, cried, ran backstage. There was applause by the audience. Like, it looked like it was a work.
Yo, this shit's like a novella right now. Like, this shit's like a straight novella. Like, I'm watching Univision, and we're getting ready to see a fight for the season finale.
Yo, it was so crazy. And Shane's just there, like, trying to hold her back, kind of, like, not defending her.
He doesn't know what to do.
And she's like, baby, kill him.
Yeah, it's like Saturday, baby.
He touched my ass. You kill him now.
And it seems like the fight's going through. I don't know if you've been following, but, you know, Don King's had this injunction trying to stop Ricardo Mayorga from fighting. I don't know why. I don't know what kind of money. This thing's going to do like 20,000 pay-per-views. Like,
why is it a pay-per-view?
Because it's the only way they can get it on TV.
That's ridiculous. And maybe the ass slap helps that. You need something.
Hey, slap asses, kiss babies, kick babies. Do what you got to do for people to watch this fight. Because right down the street is a fight you're covering. Abner Morris and Leo Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight. A fight I've been wanting to see for like a year now. People they were ducking each other and all this stuff. I was of the opinion that Morris would beat Santa Cruz. Stuff changes in a year. Morris isn't the same Morris, so I'm a little shaky on that. Now it's a toss-up to me. Santa Cruz is really kind of the face of the two coming in. Mares, but I liked him for the same reasons that I liked him before. You know, I think his hand speed would keep up. Santa Cruz is overly technical at times for not having that.
Overly technical? The guy throws over 100 punches a round.
Listen, I don't like, well, he's not a heavy puncher for his aggressiveness. I say that?
He throws a ton of punches.
Exactly. I guess I can't call it technical. He peppers punches.
Yeah.
He's slap boxing in a boxing match. I don't like that at times. I thought Mares would take advantage. He can open him up for heavy punches. So that's why I picked Mares. He can shake him a little bit. Because with Santa Cruz, it's just like you're throwing slaps at him the whole damn time. I don't want to watch someone slap box. And I thought he's gotten away with that for a long time. So we'll see what he brings this weekend, though. It's been a very hyped up fight. I'm glad I'm going to this one and not the ass slapping debacle that you're going to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, Mosley should get Mayorga out of there in a couple rounds and probably carry
him. Now he better.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if he gets slept, you can't get slept.
I mean, Mayorga hasn't won a fight in God knows how long, and he tried MMA and lost there too. Like, Mayorga's just a bona fide loser, so it is what it is. He's gonna lose. He's coming to lose. But the Mara Santa Cruz fight is interesting on a number of levels because you have two guys from Southern California, both Mexican Americans. Both speak English, which is always good for marketability.
Definitely.
Both guys don't like to take a step back when they fight. They like to come forward. Ever since Mares lost to Johnny Gonzalez, people say he's been a little bit different. The problem with Mares is that his last fight against Santos Reyes, which was on a PBC card.
Yeah.
Like the fallout fight. He had the flu, so he didn't look good. But Santa Cruz has faced weak competition. He's dominated some really, really weak competition over the past, I think the last three fights have been terrible.
With a bunch of love taps.
Yeah. Just
love tapping the hell out of people.
However, in this fight, I'm picking Santa Cruz, and there's a couple of reasons why. One, his activity is going to be an issue. Like, any close rounds are going to go to Santa Cruz. Mars isn't the heaviest puncher. He's faced stiffer competition. He's faced Joseph Igbeko. He's faced Victor Artinian. Mars has faced tough guys.
But he punches heavier than Santa Cruz, though.
Yeah, but I don't think the problem is he's going to have to eat a bunch of shots to land what he wants to land. And it's a toss-up fight to a lot of people, but I think it's going to be Santa Cruz winning a unanimous decision. It's still going to be close. It'll be 115-113 and 116-112. And there might be a card that goes the other way from Mars.
Yeah, it could be a split. I wouldn't be surprised to see the split.
But I think the volume punching is going to be a problem. I think if these guys fight the way I think they're going to fight, it could be a fight of the year candidate.
Oh, definitely. Because no one's going to back down.
No,
that's the key. Like, it's going to be a lot of offense or a little offense. There's no defense in this fight. That's the thing. It's like, okay, best case scenario, they both drop each other once. Someone drops twice to someone else's one, and it's fight of the year. Worst case scenario, they hit each other a bunch and no one hits the canvas. That's not bad for a fight.
Nah, we might be seeing something very similar to the Morales-Barrera fights where these guys just throw the caution to the wind and start throwing them. I overheard Santa Cruz saying the other day that if he gets hit, he might start boxing. Leo Santa Cruz has no DNA in the boxing. The guy comes in and he throws a lot of punches. He's not going to back down. Add that to the fact that they're fighting in both of their backyards in basically a battle for Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that this fight can't produce fireworks.
It's going to be crazy to see how the crowd splits. I feel like it's more of a Santa Cruz crowd.
It should be.
So far. But Mars is going to have his supporters, too. So it's going to be great. It's going to be good to see. It's finally good to see a fight where one person lands a punch and the crowd doesn't have to go crazy. Or, you know,
you're saying Mayweather Pacquiao, basically.
Exactly. It's like Pacquiao landed one punch. Cool. So, like, chill out. Like, this crowd will be split. It'll be even. We don't have to worry about all that stupid crowd hyping up one fighter over the other. We can look with our eyes and just trust what we see and not get overly emotional into the fight.
More
that's going to be
is the fact that we have a fight that means something. You know, rarely do you have a fight that means something where there isn't like a complete favorite. Golovkin's going to be a landslide favorite against Lemieux. Mayweather's a landslide favorite against Berto. This is a toss-up fight with two fighters that have been basically jockeying for position against each other for the greater half of about 3 years, and they're finally going to fight, and it means something. So you add that into the mix. There's a lot of drama here. There's a good narrative.
This feels like the first of three to me. The first of many. I don't think this is the last time we're going to see these two fight.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it the perfect timing. It's like, cool, have this, and then maybe a Vegas one, and then go back and market it as the trilogy. Because it could honestly go both ways. If Mars wins this one, then Santa Cruz come right back the beginning of next year and beat him. It's that close. It's one guy messes up once. He makes the wrong mistake. One guy hits a knee, and that changes the whole scoring. And that's all it takes in this fight. So I feel like this could be a trilogy. And before we move on to other stuff, and we're waiting for a guest to call here in a second.
We got our guest today. We got Rotimi from Power, who played Dre in Power. And we also got my man David D from Boston. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling. But, yeah, before we get there,
I don't want to get too far off of the Mayorga thing. What would you do? Like, how as a man are you supposed to handle this situation of another man slapping your girl on the ass?
Well, see, there's two trains of thought here. If a dude slaps my girl's ass and I beat your ass before, I'm going to beat your ass. That's not a problem. Like, I've already worked that shit over one time, so, you know, I'm going to knock your ass out a second time. However, if the shoe's on the other foot and you slap my girl's ass and you beat my ass, I'm still going to fight you. We might just both get fucked up. Now here's where it comes. My girl better jump in if there's going to be a problem.
See, that's the key. It's like, okay, they fight in a couple of days. So how don't you beat his ass on the spot? Because you beat his ass on the spot, you're messing up money.
Of course.
So do you wait the 5 days? Like, she looked at him like it was a punk move. Like, yo, you ain't going to hit him right now? And he's like, baby, I need these checks.
Yeah, you need these checks too. You see them shoes you wear?
Yeah, like, you ain't with me. For my guy giving looks right now, I'm like 45 plus. Your body's banging. Let's just be real. You here for the money. Don't mess up the money.
Right. Don't mess up
the money. He can slap the left cheek, the right cheek, whatever. I got him on Saturday. That's the way he played it. And it seems like he kind of got played as the punk in this. Like, you, what are you supposed to do? Walk up? It seems like you should John Jones him. Like, John Jones DC, and you just got to rumble.
See, here's my problem. What is your girl doing in the press conference in the first place?
How is she close enough to get her ass slapped?
Like, listen, if we beefing, right? And I know, like, every man's weakness is kryptonite. You know, the kryptonite is the woman. And if your woman gets an ass slap, men fight over somebody telling their woman crazy.
Yeah.
My woman's staying, like, far, far away from this fight. For her to get her ass slapped by Mayorga, I'll be like, hey, why are you so close to Ricardo Mayorga?
I don't think you can bring that up at the moment. Like, well, baby, you know, you should have been that close. Why did your ass get in the way of his hand?
I'm just saying, like, you shouldn't have been nowhere near the podium. You put your ass yourself in ass-smacking zone. And Mayorga doesn't care. The dude smokes cigarettes after he knocks people out. So if he's going to do that, I'm just saying, like, you bound to get your ass slapped. You kind of lucky that's all he did. You know what I'm saying? He could have molested you. You know what I'm
saying? But on stage.
I'm just saying. So in real life, like, if we're out in the street, yeah, you slap my girl's ass, you slap my wife's ass, we rumbling. Somebody going to jail. Somebody's going to a grave. It's going to happen. Boxing, there's some checks involved. I might reconsider.
You get to legally beat his ass in 4 days. I don't know if you can wait 4 days. That's the key. Like, you know, he went home and he had a lot to answer to. Like, they went to the hotel room and he was like, you know, baby, I wanted to punch him, but, and she just like, I ain't having none of that. My mama told me I should have left you. And then there was a whole bunch of, you know, broke this, been, broke that.
I just said, like, checks. You see these? Checks. You ain't getting none of these. Like, chill. Checks.
Those red bottoms start coming in quick.
Yeah, everything start coming in quick. You find your ass outside in the corner. Like, keep playing. Like, keep playing. You better take the ass slapping like a woman.
I was about to say, like, sometimes you just got to get your ass slapped.
I'm just saying. I you know.
There's worse things in this world.
Of course. I'm just, it's boxing. This is theater. Mayorga's doing this for theater. He disrespected you, Shane. It's clear. It's obvious. Saturday night, go ahead and beat that ass.
She was having none of that, though. She started crying. Yo, she was crying. Hysterical.
Yo, and Shane's like, you know, let's be honest. Shane's like, he's a little bit slow. Shane's not the same. He's not really on the money as sharp as he used to be. So Shane's probably just realizing it now. He's like, he slapped your ass? Like, that was like 6 hours ago. I was partying, like, on some Rick James. Like, Shane's on, like, another planet. If you talk to Shane Mosley, it takes him a long time to answer your questions. So I don't think he really computed. Like, when he was moving, like, what happened? What happened?
He's on, where's like, a 10-second tape delay.
Like, De La Hoya again? Like, what's happening? Like, yo, I love Shane, but you know, he's... I don't think.
Yeah, she ain't having that, yo. So he better buy her something real nice with that small pay-per-view check, because she's like, I got my ass slapped. Like, come on. Like, she probably went to the club the night before, got her ass slapped 3 times. She wasn't tripping. Now it's on TV or at a press conference. You want to make a scene. I feel like she's on stage just to be a star, too. Like, she was just really just creeping in the background, like, trying to photobomb the press conference. Got her ass slapped.
That's how it goes.
That's always a liability when you're on the stage trying to be cool.
Yeah. And Chris Brown. What? I don't even know if he's trying to be cool anymore. But
he got to be trolling us.
Yo, Greek, what did he get? Aphrodite tattooed on the back of his head.
He got BBW Aphrodite tattooed on the back of his head. Like, she is a nice-sized woman. But it's, like, Drake would like her.
Well, Drake likes Serena. Well, I don't know why we have this is brand new. Like, Drake's probably been poking Serena for years.
For a second. For multiple. I mean, him and Common weren't beefing for no reason.
Yeah, there's a reason why she's, like, smashing Wimbledon's, too. She's happy. She got Drake dick. So, it's, you know.
Did you see that shit? Like, when they were, like, waving at each other? It was like, hey, bae. And then, like, he got that cheesy-ass smile.
Anyway, Drake continues to keep winning. Like, nobody's mad at Drake. Every time.
Serena's an odd win, though. Like, she's a little rough in the face.
Listen, she wins Wimbledon's. I'll take it.
I don't know if he's man enough for her. I don't know who's man enough for her. Yo, but Drake would have pegged me.
Yo.
I feel like she's picking Drake up. Like, when it's time to go down.
Who's picking who up? They're winning. That's a couple that's winning right now.
I don't know about that one. That's rough.
So you wouldn't take down Serena Williams?
I would not take down Serena Williams. I couldn't do it. She's not my cup of tea. How about I say that? Like, she's just too brolic. We have the same body type. Like, I can't have someone with legs bigger than mine.
Sir.
I can't do it.
Why? Because of public perception?
No, just because of me. Like, just as a man, like, you just can't be manhandling me, yo. Like, you can't be throwing me about the room. I got to do this.
She could be mad feminine in the bedroom. Just because she got muscles and smashes the shit out of a tennis ball doesn't mean she's going to smash shit out of your balls.
No, she definitely would. Can you imagine Serena on top? It's not working, yo. You got to be like WWE Apollo Crews style ripped to handle Serena. Because anything less than that, she's going to kill you. That muscle is dense. She can't do it.
Well,
poor Drake.
I don't think it's poor Drake. The guy, he can have it. He's winning. It's a... Anyway.
I just threw you off with the whole Serena in the bedroom conversation. We're talking about Chris Brown.
Yes, we're talking about Chris Brown with a Greek statue in the back of his head.
Yes, a horrible one.
Like, what the hell was Chris Brown thinking?
Cocaine's one hell of a drug.
Gucci has a tattoo of ice cream on his face. A lot of people now have tattoos on their face of various things. But a Greek statue, like the face of a Greek statue?
Not a well-done one. My thing is, yo, you want to do that? Go to a good artist. You got nothing but money. You can get someone to make it look like the real-ass statue is on the back of your head. You go to someone who draws with, like, a Crayola crayon. That's not cool. And that shit's there forever. He got to grow his hair out now. Like, he could never get a light Caesar. He is permanently stuck with, like, stupid light-skinned guy curls.
I don't understand this. Like, what would possess you to get a statue on the back of your head?
That's when you have too much time and too much money.
But he's eventually going to be broke. Look, I've said it from the beginning. Chris Brown is going to be on somebody's celebrity rehab show in a couple of years. Him and Bobby Brown's going to be teaching the class.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So to get a tattoo in the back of your head, because this isn't it. It's not over. It's like, you know, Chris Brown's still in his early 20s. His early 20s or mid-20s now?
Early 20s. Like, Chris Brown's like 23 or something stupid.
Whatever the hell he is. Like, you got to live with this for the rest of your life. And you got a statue on the back of your head for reasons that I cannot understand.
I will never know it. I mean, but I bet you there's a ton of Instagram chicks who are like, oh, look at Bae's sexy tattoo. And girls love that shit because they love anything Chris Brown does. He can do no wrong.
Right now. Wait till Chris is washed.
Oh, yo, when he gets older, it's going to be rough. It's like watching El DeBarge, like when he came back to the BET Awards and shit.
But see, at least El DeBarge, like, I think Chris Brown's going to end up being like a fat dude because he's got like fat
tendencies. Chubby Bobby Brown?
Yeah. He's going to have like fat tendencies. Like
when he came out of prison?
Exactly.
Fat?
Exactly.
He was like, yo, who the hell is like, this chubby dude dancing?
So all the tattoo in the back of your head, a drug habit, and you're like 38, like washed up. It's not going to look good, man. Chris Brown's going to jail, like, for real, in his late 40s. Like, he's gonna pull like an OJ.
Damn.
I'm telling you, man. Like, you can see, the kid's nothing but trouble. Like, as much as people are like, yo, he's so talented. He can't sing all that great. I don't give a damn what anybody says. He's a very average singer. He makes very average music.
Chris Brown has, like, a collection of fans on Twitter. They have a name. I don't know what their name is.
Another hive?
It's not a hive, but they're something.
Shit, whatever they
are. They're like the Breezettes or something stupid. If you guys are listening and know what the hell it is, hit us up on Twitter and let us know what it is. But he has a collective. They shall be DMing you about this.
I don't care. Like dog, I don't care. Like, y'all can be mad. You know your man's going to jail. Your man's due for serious incarceration. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's gonna...
He would say his drug days and hitting women days are behind him.
I don't believe him. I believe he hit a woman yesterday. And that's just my thoughts. I believe that Chris Brown... Like, one dog, no, I'm sorry. Like, you beat up Rihanna. And the only reason we knew is because Rihanna's like a superstar. She's worth more than you. You know what I'm saying? Forbes list, she's worth more than you.
Carucci still love him.
You think Carucci didn't get pop?
I don't know. He probably paid her enough to stay around. What is Carucci doing nowadays? She's kind of sexy. I'll take Carucci over Serena right now.
You know how small like Carucci is? Have you seen her in person?
I haven't seen her in person.
Yo, she's like baby size, like toddler size.
She's like 5'1"?
No, she's like 4'10". Like, she's like, what? Oh, did she just
come out? Chris Brown's like 6'3", though. That's what
I'm saying. Like, you know, like Shaq and Shani, like their size difference is like that. Like, Carucci's mad. Like, she looks like she just walked out of a fourth grade.
She's super cute. Carucci and Cassie, they're on my list. Both ahead of Serena Williams.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, like, for the fact that you would just pass on Serena.
Yeah, I'm eyeing on that. And her hair weirds me out. Get me started on that. Yeah.
Weirds you out?
Yeah, like, her weave is just whack. And she be sweating it all out, like, on the tennis match.
She's in a fucking tennis match.
I don't care. Like, I don't like that shit. Like, it's not cute. Like, she needs to do something different.
Oh, man.
I can't do it. Yo, we'll get back to that. But right now, our guest is calling in, and it's time to talk wrestling. All right, all right. We'll get back to boxing a little later in the podcast, but right now our guest is calling in. Guest, say what's up.
What's up, everybody? David D here, wrestling fan, writer, extraordinaire, according to my mama. Yeah, what's up, guys?
And that was real simple, Dave. I think you just kind of sold yourself short.
Yeah, you undercut yourself right there. He's trying not to be healed.
Yeah, I need somebody. I need Paul Heyman here to put me over. I'm not good at that.
He's the Brock Lesnar journalist right here. He just stands there and nods.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Correct grammar city over here.
All right. So let's start with NXT, though, because NXT kicked off the weekend. And to me, it was the best part of the weekend. When watching that, how did you leave NXT? Did you like it better than SummerSlam and some of the other stuff we saw?
Definitely, easily better than SummerSlam. One of the best cards from top to bottom of the year, definitely. Probably maybe the best one. I think if you're an NXT fan, like, this felt like WrestleMania. It's the biggest crowd they've ever had. It was definitely a great show. I mean, you got a 5-star match. Like, there hasn't been a WWE show this year that has a 5-star match, in my opinion. And this one had one, so by default, it's the best thing that happened all weekend. It had the two best matches of the weekend.
Ooh, the two.
What was the second best?
Finn Balor and Kevin Owens nudging by Cena and Rollins by a small margin thanks to the ending of Cena-Rollins. So yes, Sasha Banks, the match I'm talking about, Sasha Banks and Bayley, they put on a 5-star match. All the stars, first 5-star match I've seen this year. Probably the first 5-star match I've seen since, I can't even remember the last time I saw one. So it's definitely a memorable match. Kind of wish they'd have gone on last, but I understand, well, you know, how it's difficult to make that call.
Man, see, I didn't give Bayley and Sasha 5 stars. I thought it was great, but I didn't give it 5 stars.
Yeah, that got to be 5 stars. Like, the storytelling in that match was incredible.
Was it shorter? What was it missing?
I think there was a couple of botched moves in towards the middle, towards the end. I've seen better quality matches from top to bottom in G1 this year. Like, I guess I'm overdosing on G1 Climax this year, because watching AJ Styles and Nakamura and Okada and those guys, there was a couple of 5-star, very close to 5-star matches. But I thought this was at least a 4.5.
The minimum. Final was almost a 5-star in G1. I mean, that shit was great.
But other than that, I mean, semi-final? As far as the women are concerned, I mean, I'm not giving them any extra credit because they're women. The part where Sasha Banks had her in the bank statement and was kicking Bayley's hand was one of the best moments of the match, period.
I think it is a subjective 5 stars. I mean, if you are a person who just watches matches and match quality, it might not be 5 stars for you. If you are an NXT fan who has followed Bayley for the last 2 years or followed Sasha Banks, then it's 5 stars, because it told a story that was built up on years and years of storytelling between the two of them in the women's division and NXT for the whole time. So if you follow them, and as a fan, it's definitely a 5-star match. If you're looking at it like, I've never seen these people before, and looking at the match and the quality and a couple, you know, missed spots or whatever, then you can say, all right, it might have fallen short. But if you include the storytelling, the history, it's a 5-star match. And I've felt this way for a few months, and this confirmed it. Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in America right now.
Yo, that's real. And don't listen to Andreas, yo. He tried to give Kanye 4.5.
What?
And then it got bumped up to 5 mics. Don't listen to him. Hey, right. He's always the skeptic on these things.
Hey, I'm a harsh critic. What more can I say? Yo, but no.
Sasha is up there, though.
Sasha Banks might be the smoothest, seamless performer that we've seen right now. Her transitions are beautiful. Like, well, she's dope. The thing
about Sasha, first of all, in the ring, she's the closest thing to HBK we got in the WWE right now. So there's that going for her in the ring. But then on top of that, she has more personality, and her promos are better, and the way she carries herself in the ring, combined with the wrestling itself, like, nobody has that combination in wrestling right now. Like, she's basically like HBK and The Rock, as far as I'm concerned. The stuff she was doing with Bayley in terms of, I'm going to, where she was like making fun of Bayley's moves and mimicking them in the middle of the match, And then when she pays homage to Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero from Halloween Havoc and does the front flip over the top rope, I mean, she took things to another level. I don't think there's another wrestler, definitely in the WWE, but probably anywhere else that's hitting on all cylinders like Sasha Banks is right now.
She's top three. She's top three in the world right now.
Right.
I mean, Nakamura is really cool to me. Right. I like all of his fights. He's stiff. He's a great performer and storyteller in the ring. And then you have Sasha. Shit, I don't even know who I put three. I mean, might be two.
No, there's a lot of wrestlers. Oh, back to this five-star thing right quick.
You can't let it go.
Because, Dave, you said it was the first five-star you've seen in a while. It was better than the Royal Rumble triple threat match for the title?
Yeah. Okay, so before this, my match of the year was the Royal Rumble triple threat match, right? Mm-hmm. This match was better than that one. I can say that easily. This match was better than that match. The emotion in the match, the storytelling, the way it had a slow build. You got to remember that Royal Rumble match had about like 5 minutes in the middle where Brock was on the table where it was kind of slow. Yeah. This match had none of the last 10 minutes were just the best 10 minutes you're going to see in any match anywhere probably for the rest of the year.
It's up there. It's better than the Royal Rumble match because I agree. Brock was laying there. That one was carried by Rollins. That was Rollins' coming out party.
Rollins is carrying a lot of shit lately.
Yeah, Rollins, I mean, he hasn't had a bad match in a long time. And them putting him, fourth to last on SummerSlam is ridiculous. They're giving him the CM Punk treatment, which is shit.
So let's talk about Rollins real quick. Before we really start breaking down these cards, is it an insult that Rollins is getting... Basically, the dude can't get a clean win since he's had the title. What is your thoughts on this dude never getting a clean win?
Well, I mean, he's got some clean Raw and SmackDown wins, I guess. But I think it's more of a function of the guys they're putting him with. Like, he can't afford to beat Brock Lesnar clean. You know, John Cena has jobbed clean in three straight SummerSlams. And then he's probably not going to beat Sting clean because Sting lost to Triple H. So... I think it's a sort of a timing thing. It's a function of the guys he's wrestling with because he can't just beat these guys clean. Now, if they were going to go with him against Cesaro or Kevin Owens or Randy Orton or somebody like that, he's beating them clean. I mean, a couple weeks ago, he had the triple threat with Orton and Reigns. I believe he won that match clean, clean-ish. But he's a heel. And I think the thing with him is that like a good heel is a guy who – can take a babyface to the limit and be equal with the babyface, and then he cheats to win. And that's the thing. He was equal with Cena. Like, it wasn't like Cena had him. I mean, he had the little attitude adjustment visual pin, but everybody kicks out of that. So, you know, he was doing some awesome stuff with Cena to the point where he still looks strong. And he's a heel, so heels cheat to win. I mean, that's just... You know, it's only recently where we look at heels winning clean in WWE.
Yeah, it seems like real 80s, though, that he keeps having to cheat to win. It seems, I mean, that's outdated. He's too good of a wrestler to need that to be his gimmick. Right now, he can carry himself. Like, his work speaks for itself. He doesn't have to keep just having someone run in, having someone interfere. Now, finally, people stopped interfering. He still can't win clean. It's something else. Now someone hits someone with a chair. Then it's like, damn, he's still using the stupid pedigree. Someone else's move. Every way that they can lessen him as a person, they try. Because he's getting too good of a wrestler. And they have to take the belt off him sooner or later. So they're just trying to just knock him down. Just keep him normal. So when he loses the belt, people be like, okay, I'm tired of seeing him.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, when I think about John Cena versus Seth Rollins, I don't really think about John Stewart interfering in the end. I think about the reverse, the roll-up attitude adjustment he gave to John Cena. I think about the three suicide dives and the one over the top rope and the frog splash and things like that. I mean, he's doing enough in the ring to where, I mean, you listen to the crowd, he's over. He's over like crazy.
Super.
And, you know, even if he doesn't win clean, I mean, he's doing enough in the match to make it seem like he's worth being on, and that's what makes him a heel. It's so frustrating because you look at him and you're like, you could probably win these matches clean, but you were cheating anyway. And that's great heel work because Ric Flair was the same way. It's like, you are the best wrestler in the world, you should be cheating. You should not be cheating, but he cheats anyway. And so you hate him. Brock Lesnar was the same way when he was heel. He was hitting people, you know, with low blows and cheating just because he was a jerk. He was an asshole. That's what Seth Rollins is doing. Like, I think it's like, I mean, you guys are talking about how much you hate him now for doing that. That's heel work. That's what it's about.
So let's have a prediction. Bold prediction. Seth Rollins carries the title until when?
WrestleMania, where he loses to Roman Reigns in a Shield triple threat.
Royal Rumble, he loses to Cena.
Fuck that. Fuck it. No.
Loses to Cena at Rumble.
Cut this out with this. Cena's not getting that title.
Cena's getting a title. They need a big stage. And they're going to push Cena breaking Ric Flair's record as what, like, the main marquee is going to be of that fight. And then now it's going to be Sting a little bit. Cena's going to middle around. Cena's going to want his revenge. And then he's going to beat Rollins. Yeah. And then he's going to take the title. And now whoever beats Cena at WrestleMania is super over. Like, beating Rollins, who cheats all the time, to win your title. Like, Roman Reigns beating Rollins, so what? But if you beat Cena, it means something. So they can give Cena the title so he can lose it at Mania to whoever that next guy is. If it's Finn Balor getting called up and Finn needs the crazy push, then it's Finn. If it's Roman Reigns finally gets it to click and could cut a damn promo and he's the next golden boy, then it's Roman Reigns. If they just want the money grab and it's Brock Lesnar again and he takes him to Suplex City and kills him again, it doesn't matter. Whoever beats Cena clean is legit.
Yeah, I hate everything about what you just said.
Hey, yo, it's what's happening.
Everything. Because, A, Reigns isn't over enough to have a title run. They still got some work to do. B, Rollins is... I can see Rollins having this title until Mania because I look at this as the Edge and Christian theory.
How many people hold it for a year?
This is CM why. Punk? But this is why. The Edge and Christian theory is Edge and Christian held the tag team titles forever and never lost a major match. Like, they always went over. So for Rollins to hold it, like, to give it up to Cena is kind of stupid. I just don't think it makes any sense. Not right now. Not right now. Let Rollins hold it. Maybe Rollins feuds with Triple H at Mania if they split. But I'm more with David's prediction, but I don't think Reigns is going to get that title. And I think that Ambrose is going to turn heel sooner than later, too. But I'm going to say that he's going to lose it at, like, Elimination Chamber because the WWE does douchebag shit like that. Like, right before Mania, they have the champion drop the strap. That's my prediction. I just don't know who he loses that shit to.
I mean, there's not too many candidates, right? Like, who's that over? Kevin Owens is still too new.
We got a lot of time, bro. We haven't even hit Survivor Series yet.
That's why I think Roman Reigns Raw has been one, but if you watch what Roman Reigns been doing on SmackDown, he's been having great promo, well, decent promos and great matches on SmackDown. I think Roman Reigns, if you give him a good feud with Dean Ambrose or the Wyatts for the next few months, crowds are warming up to him a little bit to the point where, you know, we don't feel like he's getting shoved down our throat. I think you can get Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania because, you know, that's a huge match, but that's not going to main event. Whoever the Undertaker's wrestling at WrestleMania 32 is going to main event that card. And that's
just going to piss me off even more. I'm so tired of the championship not main eventing WrestleMania or these major pay-per-views.
But I told you why this happens.
It is ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. Always, Toronto is the reason why you can't always have the champ main event WrestleMania. If it, like, Undertaker and Shawn Michaels kill any title match. I think, what was that, WrestleMania in Arizona? What was that? What number was that? David, I know you know.
WrestleMania 25 in Houston, they went in the middle of the card, and then we had to see Triple H and Randy Orton in the main event, one of the worst main events in WrestleMania history.
You can't, like, you got to understand what your pull is here. And if Taker's your pull, like, let's be real. Taker and Lesnar had a good match, like a much better match than they had at WrestleMania. And that means Taker can still go. I wouldn't mind seeing him headline WrestleMania again. Now, if it's against Sting, fuck no. I'll pass. Y'all can have that shit. But if Taker and Lesnar do it again at Mania, which I kind of hope they don't, but...
Taker's not going to hold up through too many more of these.
He's out. Bye. Taker's out for a while.
He can't keep collapsing and shit.
I'm pretty sure his last match is WrestleMania 32. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a lot.
He has to win his last WrestleMania, though, right? He can't lose another one.
Why not?
After the whole streak shit and coming back and winning, you can't lose two. No, you go 21 out. And 2 don't sound cool.
When you retire, you go out on your back. Most people don't go out winning.
I agree. Leave him alone. I think he should either wrestle Brock at WrestleMania 32 or wrestle Cena for the belt at the top of the card and just have,
you know. I like that. I love that idea, David. I've been talking about this shit forever. But this is almost the only way you can turn Cena heel is against Taker.
Agreed. Only way Cena works heel is if he cheats and beats Undertaker and ends his career. If you do a career versus title match, Undertaker versus John Cena, and you have John Cena low blow Undertaker and hit him with the attitude adjustment and win, Cena's a heel. He's the biggest heel in the business. Undertaker's gone, and you have a stable of baby faces who are chasing him.
I don't know if that's enough to turn him heel.
That is definitely enough to turn him heel. Taker's washed anyway. Look, at Mania?
Or if you want him to turn super heel, you just have him beat Undertaker clean. And the crowd is going to boo him for the rest of eternity if he beats Undertaker clean and ends his career.
Every Mania, Cena gets booed out the building. It's going to be, if he faces Taker, you know how rough it's going to be?
The only way Cena turns heel, because little kids still don't care. Undertaker's scary, and he beat up the scary man, and Cena's still going to have mad merch, and kids are going to hug him and shit. It's not heel enough. If Cena wants to go heel, he has to be a Heyman guy. That's the only way he goes heel.
Hell no. Cal, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's the only way Cena can go heel, because people hate Heyman that much.
No, they don't. Nobody hates Paul Heyman. Who hates Paul Heyman?
The kids. It's all about the kids.
David, you see, this is my co-host. You see the shit that he says?
Cena's never going heel because of the kids. The kids will always love Cena. You got to do something to make him not appeal to the children.
You know what'll make Cena turn heel? Is if all these kids start painting their faces and buying Finn Balor shooting sleeves.
That is key.
Finn Balor, dreadlocks. I mean, Daniel Bryan was almost at the point where he was an over enough babyface to turn Cena heel.
That's what I thought. I thought the same thing. Daniel Bryan fucked it all up because that was the key. Daniel Bryan was loved by children. The only thing you needed is like a stupid tag team match at Mania or SummerSlam, and Cena turns on Daniel Bryan, and then that's heel. Children are crying. The black guy with the stupid Taker face comes back, and he's shocked. That's what you needed to go heel. Daniel Bryan dropped the ball because of health. And then now Cena's stuck again. You need someone for the children to love so Cena can move on. And Taker's not that guy. Kids don't love Taker. He do whatever the hell he wants to Taker. It's like beating up the boogeyman. You're a hero to kids.
Nah.
You have to have the kids turn on you. That's what's going to make him heel.
Nah. No. Taker will turn him heel. If you want to go
to a bunch of 40-year-olds who hate him anyway.
20-year-olds, 18-year-olds. Like, when you have a whole building booing you, there's a way to turn him heel. Look, he broke the Make-A-Wish record, all right? That's enough of that shit. So right. He doesn't have to do that shit anymore. Now he can turn heel.
He needs someone that the kids love. Finn could be that guy. Women, children love Finn.
Finn's a heel, right?
Finn should be a heel. It's going to happen. Like, Balor Club should be a whole hero, like, faction. If Triple H doesn't use Owens and Balor and all that shit and create like a new clique and have people super annoyed by it, then he's missing out. Because Triple H should have his guys, his NXT guys, and say the hell with everyone else. Rollins turn face and then bring up and like spoon feed Owens and Balor and all these guys.
I don't like any of your ideas.
Booking wrestling's hard, man.
So let's talk about SummerSlam as a whole. The event as a whole, like, was it a good event, Dave? Because I didn't. It felt long as hell to me. At 4 hours, I started feeling that shit after a while.
Yeah, I think WWE's in a weird situation. Like, if you go on the network and watch In Your House, all those matches look like Superstars matches. So WWE is in a weird position because they put on great matches on Raw and SmackDown. So it's really hard for a 4-hour card to stand out. And a lot of those matches felt like Raw. Like, I feel like the pay per view didn't really start until the Shield and Wyatt's match, and it was really about two slow hours and two like really, really good hours at the end.
Yeah, I feel like Raw, if Raw could have been SummerSlam and SummerSlam could have been Raw, I would have been fine.
I mean, did it also hurt that the damn stage looked exactly the same? That they didn't do anything special? Nothing different. It looked like I was watching Raw.
And Raw was just like, you know what? You want SummerSlam to be memorable, you bring out the Dudleys at SummerSlam. You could turn that stupid 4-way match into a 5-way brawl or something and just bring out the Dudleys and have them put everyone through tables. Fucking genius. But you save that for Raw. And then the next night you have Brock Lesnar go crazy and just F5ing people. The Taker match was cool, but it wasn't overly great.
It was, that match was at least 15 times better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my expectations were low. Okay, I didn't. My expectations were very low. I thought Taker was going to croak like 5 minutes into it.
I think that match more than any match since probably his WrestleMania match with Shawn Michaels. Like, that match put Undertaker on a whole new level in terms of a wrestler, because he's obviously physically limited, and he told stories in the ring from the beginning of the match where, like, I can't outpower Brock Lesnar, but he was outmaneuvering him and outsmarting him and getting out of those holds and using his brawl. Like, he was telling the story from the beginning of the match, and he is an example of, like, a real... Well, that's what a real wrestler does. Like, they tell stories, and they can, elongate their career by doing that. I think that put him in a whole nother top tier of wrestling just by that match alone.
Yo, that laugh was ridiculous. You got it.
That shit was hilarious. The laugh enhanced the match a star by itself.
Oh, it did. Yeah. It was just like, as soon as he busted out with the laugh, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It was like, you got me.
Like, you think about it, you know, in the modern wrestling era where guys are flipping over top ropes and going through tables, the biggest pop of the match was Undertaker sitting up and laughing and then punching themselves while sitting down like two kids in timeout. And it was awesome. Like, it was the greatest thing of the night. And that's what storytelling is.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk about one more thing before I let you go, David. It's so about, has it been a year since New Day debuted? Has it been a year yet?
Yes, talk about New Day.
We got to talk about New Day.
New
because rocks. When we first saw New Day, all of us shit our pants. It was like, oh, fuck. This is going to be terrible. That was one of the most over things on Raw and at SummerSlam is New Day.
NXT, they were chanting New Day rocks.
Well, I want to correct something real quick. You said a lot of people said it would be terrible. I always had faith in New Day.
What?
If you check the WrestleRap archives, I wrote about how New Day could main event things. I was always on New Day, and I knew they had potential for greatness. I thought they would be a heel faction. I kept on finding black holidays that they could turn heel on and walking off the counter. I thought they would turn, you know, heel on MLK Day. I thought they would turn heel in St. Louis. I thought they would turn heel when Empire beat everybody in the ratings on Fox. I was waiting on it for any black holiday where they would turn heel, and I knew that they'd be great as a heel faction, and now they are. And they are the most entertaining thing in the WWE right now.
Dude, Big E's dancing.
Oh, the dancing took it to a new level. The dancing is genius.
When Kofi Kingston said pitch pipes to sea before doing New York, I lose it every single time.
So we made the right decision. We put the belts back on New Day.
Yeah.
And now that we're in here with the Dudleys. But how far are the New Day gonna go now? With the Dudleys in the mix, did the Dudleys just put New Day over?
I think they just put New Day over.
I agree.
I think they put New Day over. What I wanna see from New Day is I wanna see them have tag team titles, and I wanna see Big E beat Ryback for the Intercontinental title.
That's right.
And I wanna see them just
Dre's wanted Big E to hold the strap for a second.
Right. I just want them as a faction with all the titles. They're not gonna have the world title, but I wanna see them as a faction with all the secondary titles, and maybe Sasha Banks joins New Day and has the Divas title.
Don't do that to Bay. Let her stand alone. I'm tired of seeing her with other people. Look, let her stand alone.
Let's be real, right?
Don't do that.
Like,
to Bay.
The women's Divas division on the main roster is still shitty. Like, it's like when it doesn't even feel the same when you watch it. Put in Sasha Banks with the New Day is not really a bad idea. Not at all. I'm not mad at that shit at all.
Right. Let's not do it. Then she got to have like a stupid churchy gimmick too. Like,
no, like
New she gonna be the boss with the New Day?
Yes.
All right, just let her be the boss. Let's not ruin Sasha.
Yeah, I think the WWE had a rough Raw with the Divas segments because the crowd wanted Sasha Banks. I think they want there's a lot of stuff going on there. They want Charlotte to be the new person. John Cena wants Nikki to hold the belt, and the most talented person on the roster is Sasha Banks. So they don't know what to do. So and they won't let them tell a story. That's the crazy thing. They won't let them tell their stories. At the end of the day, that's what people care about. Good wrestling will only take you so far.
Yeah, I mean, Sasha and Charlotte obviously already build a story. They've done it before. Great matches. How you throw Nikki Bella in there, I don't know yet.
Girl's just trash, yo.
Yeah, let's just be real. She kind of takes their match a notch down, but she's going to have to step it up. And a three-way title match is great. Because you don't see too many, like, good three-way brawls from women. If it's not NXT, they had the four-way match or whatever. That was great. Down there with Bayley, Sasha,
Becky,
and Charlotte. So, you could do that, and Bella just has to hold her weight. She can't break the record. At this point...
If the WrestleMania match is not Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, then WWE is, like, shooting themselves in the foot. You give them 20 minutes, they're going to steal the show.
Yeah, Total Divas, like, runs that shit, though. So, Nikki Bella is going to be in the match. Because in Total Divas, like I said before, there are women who know nothing about wrestling that watch Total Divas every week and know what type of handbag Nikki Bella wears and what type of caviar she orders in Paris and stuff. And that's just a fact of it. So, Vince is going to see dollar signs, and she's going to be in any Divas match that is WrestleMania.
Yo, this I would like, if it's a three-way match, I would like to be an elimination match. And she's in it, and they eliminate her in 2 seconds, and then we get 20 minutes of Sasha Banks and Charlotte.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, let's get Nikki out the paint. Back to this New Day shit right quick. Because I just sat there and watched the SummerSlam match with four tag teams with all minorities. Four right. Mexicans and four black people.
Correct.
Well, five black people. If you want to count Xavier. So
he's not black anymore. He just
he wasn't in the match. He wasn't in the match. He played the trombone on goddamn Raw the next night. Like, but it was dope. But what is Vince thinking about all this? Like, all these black wrestlers are getting over, and now you brought in Apollo Crews, which felt like a joke with his name. Like,
his entrance was dope though.
Well, he was happy. Like, watching Apollo Crews enter the ring, he was happy. I felt genuinely happy.
Just the green, the logo, all that worked.
So. Are we going to see a black champion in the next 2 years?
What kind of champion?
World heavyweight champion.
Hell no.
Dave, what's your thought?
I think Apollo Crews is probably the closest thing. I think he has the best shot at it. I think he can. I mean, bro, what we're watching right now is, you know, the way we watch TV is different. Ratings are different. People are noticing that black people are talking about wrestling every single Monday night. Black people run Twitter. And when a WWE moment is trending, it's usually because black people tweeting about it. So they are understanding the demographic. Also, with the Hulk Hogan thing, people are going to start asking a whole lot of questions about your history.
Yes,
so
I think
they're gearing up for a champion. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, I think Apollo Crews might get that transitional champion role, like between SummerSlam and Survivor Series or between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble next year. But he's probably the complete package, unless only other option is if the New Day just becomes nuclear hot and you can put the belt on one of them for a couple months.
I don't see New Day getting it. Cruz, I think, is going to be NXT champion before WrestleMania. Cruz will hold the belt. Finn will be up. Him and Joe might have a rivalry or something, but it's going to be good. So Cruz will hold the NXT title, and then he'll come up and probably play that Ryback role, that IC champion, something like that. He's the best hope for a WWE title, but I don't see it. Not while Vince is still alive and kicking. Like, to be honest, like, I say that shit with a straight face. Like, while Vince is still here and Vince has the final stamp on it, he ain't getting it. Well, if it's Triple H will mess around and give him the belt. But I don't see it. Not until Vince is out of the picture.
I don't think Vince is necessarily opposed to a black champion. I mean, I think he would have put the belt on Bobby Lashley if Bobby Lashley had any discernible skill whatsoever when he was in the WWE. I think he wanted Bobby Lashley to be the next guy, but you look at Apollo Crews, I mean, he's got that it factor. I think he can hold the belt probably towards the end of next year.
That's quick.
Well, it is quick, but, you know, strap a rocket on somebody's back. Last question. This is the last question.
That's what we always say. We don't got no time.
This is right. This is it. Dave, we talked about this in the WrestleRap chat. I want to get your take on this. Why do we – should we be calling The Rock a black heavyweight champion?
Oh, my God. I can't – okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Wait. Let Dave answer this.
Yes, The Rock is a black champion. I mean, there's no other way to tell. I mean, his dad is black. His mother is Samoan. There is, like, 0% white in him. He's an African-American man. And people say, well, he didn't represent, quote-unquote, black culture. Like, why not? Because he wasn't, like, OT thug man and was, like, shooting people with pistols in the ring. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Chris Rock always had the joke of, like, the more successful Tiger Woods got, I think it was Chris Rock, maybe Dave Chappelle. The more successful Tiger Woods got, the less black he got in the media. And that's sort of what The Rock was like. It was like he's so successful that now he's suddenly not black. But, I mean, you got to think about his history. Like, they put him in the black nationalist group.
He's in the Nation of Domination.
He was in the Nation of Domination. And then you undermine all the stuff he did as a minority in wrestling by saying he's not black. Like, they treated him like crap behind the scenes. He won the belt at Survivor Series, and Vince McMahon wanted him to be in the Kiss My Ass Club the next night on Raw. You know, and I think that some of the success he's had, some of the backlash to his success has racial undertones. It's like a boy, you don't know your place type deal when he comes back to WWE and they act like he's too big for his britches and stuff like that. Like, he's endured racism in wrestling. And to say that he's not black is undermining sort of the sacrifices he had to make. Yes, he has the benefit of being a third generation wrestler, but the dude is black. Like, that's, there's no way around it.
I think it's just funny because when people talk about, oh, you haven't had a black heavyweight champion, it's like, well, The Rock was, and because he doesn't carry certain stereotypical traits, we say he's not. But he's a brother. If you even look at his playlist, he's like, come on, man. Like, they need to cut that out.
Everything from his theme music to the way he talked to all that, he was black. He wasn't the stereotypical Samoan dude. Like, they didn't have him, like, doing a fire twirl and a luau girls. Like, his whole thing when he went to The Rock and he had the glasses and he was cool, his whole swag was black. The entire thing he built his career on was black. He had a hip-hop flavor to him. Like, The Rock was legit.
He wore Versace shirts, son.
Right. He wore Versace shirts, like, and how did Stone Cold send him the 316? On his pager. He had a pager clipped in his belt pocket in the middle of the ring. He's no blacker than that.
Yo, the whole persona was black, so that's crazy to not consider him a black champion.
Well, it started with that dumbass Atlantic article about like racism in wrestling and saying there's never been a black champion because the author just didn't know what he was talking about. And the fact is, like, you can say wrestling is racist and they had a black champion. Like, those two things can be true. That's and wrestling is very racist and they've had a black champion. So, you know, those things are absolutely true.
I mean, you've never seen Booker T before?
Right.
Never saw Rob? Like, you can't write that article. That's ludicrous.
That's what happens, man. And we engage in these debates about who The Rock is and what he is, but why can't we just recognize what he is? He's African-American. He's Samoan. Why can't we just recognize as that? I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that. And it's not that big of a deal. I don't think anybody cares that much.
My thing is for a black champion, what I don't like, and I see a lot in WWE, to become a black champion, even divas, anything like that, usually you have to be a heel. Not too many faces who are black get the strap. Like, if you want to be a black champion, you are the heel. Rocky Maivia didn't win the belt. He became hot when he was Nation of Domination and then started being an asshole, and he was Vince's boy for a second, and then he could hold the title. Like, you got to be black and a heel to hold the belt. It's kind of that black women got attitude, black people are loud kind of stereotype. Once you get that, then you're good enough to be a champion because people can relate with that. A nice black person? People don't relate to nice black people. Can't give you the belt. And that's kind of the thing that rubs me the wrong way. I can't remember a face that was black who won a title. Any title.
Well, I mean, Booker T was a face.
Booker T with the whole King Booker and all this stuff?
No. When he was in WCW, he was a face.
Oh, don't count. I mean, WCW did a lot of shit that wasn't traditional.
Rock won the belt as a face a couple times, you know.
First time he held it, heel or face?
First time he held it, he was a heel.
All right. New Day, heel or face when they had to take the belts?
Well, but that gimmick wasn't getting over as a babyface gimmick anyway. But they were here. I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, anything other than white people is going to be seen as heels for most, you know, a lot of the time. I mean, Sasha Banks.
Spanish. I mean, Eddie Guerrero.
Right. I mean, Sasha Banks went out to the ring in NXT, and her you know, when nobody knew anything about her, they were chanting Sasha's Ratchet, which is about as racist as you can get.
Indeed. Well, Dave, we appreciate your time, brother. Drop some science on these folks. Let them know where to find you and your brilliant articles, because you didn't give yourself no props on the intro. So, like, show some love to yourself.
All right, you can catch me, David D. TSS, on Twitter and the Instagram. You can find my wrestling writings on With Spandex at UpRocks, and all other writings over at Boss and other random places. Is that good enough?
Nah, that's great. You know, the people want to know where to find you, just in case we got to get you back on the show, just in case they got to air you out for your opinions. You know, people try to go on Twitter and get at you for your opinions. It might just be me, but
it's you.
Just saying. So we got to drop where you are. Thanks for coming on the show, though, man. More wrestling coming up, so we'd love to have you again.
All right, great. It's been an honor to be on the show.
Thanks.
Yo, so it was good having Dave on talking wrestling, but we still have more stuff to talk about because it was packed and we didn't really get to like the nitty gritty of the wrestling matches.
We didn't really break it down. I mean, we talked a little about TakeOver. I agree with Dave. TakeOver is better than SummerSlam. I don't know, man. I was watching SummerSlam and I was just like, damn, this is long. Like the Orton-Sheamus match, I didn't care about. The four-way tag with New Day winning, I was actually thoroughly entertained by that match. But the pacing was weird. Like, the Divas Elimination Tag match was whack. And it really hurt my feelings that they spent all this time with the Bayley-Sasha Banks story for them having such a great match to this really, really dry Divas Tag. This Divas Revolution shit got to stop.
Yo, it's too jumbled up. Like, you can only have so many three-way, three-team matches.
It's stupid.
And then, like, every other time, like, someone wants to see Charlotte, then Charlotte's not in it because you only have the Bad versus the Bellas. And then the next time you have the Submission Sorority, which isn't their name, but that's forever their name now.
Yeah.
Versus the Bellas, and people are chanting Sasha Banks in the crowd. Like, it's time to just break them apart, let them go their own way. You can't have the NXT girls carrying these other scrubs anymore. That's the end of that.
And the Bellas are whack. Like, we kind of talked about it with Dave, but, man, like, every time a Bella gets in the ring, everything slows down. It feels like the pacing is terrible.
Bree whacker than Nikki.
Yeah, Bree's she's whack. Which one of them on Total Divas said you whistle by sucking air? Did anybody see this?
No, because I did not watch Total Divas until my bae, Sasha Banks, is on it.
If she's ever on that show, you should protest. It's over. If the moment Sasha Banks is on Total Divas, it's over. For her.
I'm there for it.
Nah, I'm good. I don't want to see her acting on any type of reality show. Some people just don't belong. But going back to that match, it's just, I don't know, it just felt out of place. And then you followed it up with Cesaro and Owens, which was a good match, but I felt like everybody was burnt out. It felt like the crowd was completely burnt out by that point. So I didn't really agree with the pace of the match. I'm glad Kevin Owens won after taking the L against Finn Balor in the ladder match, which again was a good match, but it felt like that ladder match was missing something.
It was like the ending kind of was just a little sketchy, but you tweeted that it would have been better if Owens would have laid flat on the ladder and we would have saw the coup de grace through the ladder.
Perfect. That seems like that was what was supposed to happen, and Owens bounced off.
Yeah, it fell off. Like,
oh shit. And everybody looked around, and that's why Finn kept reaching for the belt, because somebody was trying to make a signal for something. It's like, all right, we got to move Owens and just stomp him off the ladder. And it looked like when Owens was getting stomped off the ladder, he was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you could really slow down the momentum with somebody jumping off like a 15-foot-high ladder onto your chest. Mm-hmm. So, but it felt, I don't know, man. It's like Bayley and Sasha really stole that show.
They did. And to me, Finn has like the look and the persona and everything. It's just his in-ring work now. You know what you're going to get. You know the moveset. You know the same couple moves. He's not like Kevin Owens, who pulls out a different move every time. Or Seth Rollins, that pulls out something different every time. We saw Sasha Banks even pull out something different.
Yeah.
And it just didn't have that.
Yeah. You know what? We'll just go on to TakeOver. Because, first of all, thank God Samoa Joe beat Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin legitimately sucks. That guy.
You were worried for a second, didn't you? That Baron Corbin was going to go over on Samoa.
Yeah, see, that would have been lights out. Like, if Samoa Joe lost to Baron Corbin, that's it. He would have been Rhino status. Him and Rhino could have been a tag team. It was like, we're just going to put you guys over. Like, that's the name of the tag team.
The Wash Brothers.
Yeah, we're just going to put you over. The fact is that he won with the rear naked choke. That was great. But
they're trying to move away from the muscle buster,
which obviously is stupid. They need to keep the muscle buster.
Tyson Kidd and fucking Bret Hart are up in arms.
Who cares? Whatever. Everybody gets hurt. Shit, I don't care. Keep doing the muscle buster.
Ryback can still wrestle. Shit, you can keep doing
that. That's what I'm saying. But it's like the pacing of that. Like, Baron Corbin sucks. And it makes you think, like, all right, so now we're running out of heels in NXT. Like, we're legit out of heels. Who's left?
Tyler Breeze.
He didn't look strong. He lost to a 50-year-old man.
He did, with a beer belly.
Yeah, dog. Yeah.
That's about it.
The match was great, by the way.
But Owens has to come back down, or if he doesn't, Finn has to go heel. Because Itami is still there. So, like, Itami is going to be a face, and someone turned on him. So the heel card is there. If you want to turn Joe heel for some reason and have Monster heel, which they love, just big guys being heels, you can do that and say he attacked Itami. And then you can have Finn Balor and Itami try to gang up on Joe while Joe is trying to get the belt. Or you can have Balor attack Itami, and then Balor is now the heel.
It just it feels weird right now. There's so many faces. Apollo Crews is a face. Samoa Joe is a face. Like, all the heels lost.
I feel like everyone comes in as a face, though, right? Like, Sasha Banks came in as a face. They turned her.
Well, yeah, but
everyone besides Owens.
But right now, it's like there are too many faces. There are legit too. Like, Tyler Breeze is your only heel, and he lost.
Corbin lost.
Corbin sucks. He doesn't count. Corbin's trash. Like, that guy, he's trash. Like,
he got a strong push.
Hey, the Vaughn villains, like, okay, bringing out Blue Pants. I was
happy to see that.
Yo, bringing out Blue Pants.
I follow her on Twitter, and, like, she does all the cosplay stuff. She's actually pretty cool. Like, if she wasn't just Blue Pants, like, if they let her do her other stuff, I understand, like, licensing and trademarks.
Right.
But Blue Pants is kind of weird. But with the Vaughn villains, it was dope.
It was really dope. Blake and Murphy lost, which is, like, Blake and Murphy, like, the most generic tag team ever.
I don't mind Blake and Murphy.
It's weird, like, super EDM. It's like Alexa, they needed Alexa Bliss, right? Yeah. They needed her, but them losing, it's like, it's going to be weird because they got this tag team tournament coming up that's going to culminate in the next takeover in October. But
Dusty Rhodes,
yeah, tournament. They're going to have to pull a lot of indie talent. I've heard that they signed Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, so perhaps they'll be a tag team. They're going to have to do something. There's not enough tag teams to have a tag team tournament.
I mean, but Lucha Dragons will come back down for spot duty. They'll bring back down the Ascension, who are doing nothing.
They're terrible.
When was the last time you saw the Ascension? They're on, like, superstars.
I think they're on a live. I think they're doing a main event right now as we're doing this podcast, or something I saw that they're going to get fed to the Dudley Boys.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, fantastic. But they suck. We knew they suck. Yeah. Everybody knew they suck.
So, I mean, those guys will be back down. So you just play spot duty for a second. There's a new tag team that they've been working out.
You talking about with Gable?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, not Gable. Gable and that kid, I actually like them as a tag team. They're pretty dope.
Gable's actually really good. He reminds me of Kurt Angle.
Yeah. No, the other dude who came back down from...
Who's Zack Ryder?
Ryder.
The Hype Brothers?
Yeah.
I hate them.
That's a horrible tag team, but him and
Mojo,
be in it.
Mojo Rawley?
And then, of course, Big Cass Enzo.
They seem that they need to move up. They're in a place right now.
They
it just
doing
doesn't
a lot
make,
of superstar joints, yeah, I heard.
It just doesn't make... It doesn't feel right that they're in NXT anymore. Like, their gimmick is bigger than NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's time. Perfect, and it's time for them to go up. But maybe they win this, and then now they get the bump. They haven't held the titles, though. That's what's so crazy. They're over, and they aren't champions.
No, because their ring work is not that good.
No, well, that's Cass more due and Enzo. To Enzo
I Cass. Mean, Cass is not that good either.
I like Cass. Cass is no worse than primetime players, dude.
Who, Titus O'Neil?
Titus O'Neil, who finally fixed that damn move.
Yeah, he did.
Instead of just flinging the guy... He does a dope, like, knee breaker and then does it again and then flings him. So much better.
Look, we'll get back on that match in a minute because Darren Young actually showed out in that match too. But going back to the TakeOver card was really damn good. And it culminated in a great ladder match. I think everybody went home happy. And then you rolled into SummerSlam and I was legitimately burnt out. A lot of people gave the praise to before I even talk about Wade Barrett, there's a rumor that Wade Barrett has left WWE. That's floating around right now. And if
already?
He did, yeah, if he did, more power to him because they're completely misusing Wade Barrett. He's just losing. He won the King of the Ring and they've done shit with him since. I wouldn't be mad if he went lost. But
where does he go though?
I don't care. Take some booking somewhere else. Like, go to Lucha. I don't know, but they're just not using him right in the WWE.
It's very true.
The Neville and Stephen Amell match was. People liked it.
Marcus ruined Neville for me, by the way.
Neville.
That's all I think about every time.
That match, it was cool. Like, Neville's in a weird spot right now where the fact that we have to watch the Big Show and Ryback and Miz fight for a title and Neville's doing, like, a tag team with the Green Arrow is kind of stupid. Like, Neville should be... There needs to be, like, a intercontinental title tournament of some sort.
Yeah, Neville's ready to hold a belt. Which gets me to another point, like Rollins holding two.
I like it. He has to, that
he's
means
not
he,
lethal though.
That like, means he has to defend them twice at Night of the Champions. He has to defend both titles at Night of the Champions.
Oh, so he got
to
drop one.
Maybe not.
So you get like Randy Orton winning.
No. Sting versus Rollins is what's going to happen in Night of the Champions.
Yeah.
The U.S. title might be Cena. Rollins can,
Cena takes it back. That's not bad.
Maybe. Maybe not.
He walks out 2-0.
Yo, I don't, like, give Rollins everything right now. Give him
the whole Jay Lethal approach to it. It's like, yo, the roster is too big. Like, it works in ROH. And
dude, it works here.
And the roster is too big.
No,
and some people
everybody
need titles.
No, like who? They don't need them.
Owens needs a title.
No, he
Cesaro
doesn't.
Could use a title.
No, he doesn't.
When your other only major title is on someone like Ryback,
that's
and then
fine.
You have someone holding two, it's ridiculous.
But you need a title boosts somebody. Owens doesn't need a boost. If he doesn't need a Cesaro doesn't necessarily need a boost unless it's the IC title. But Rollins holding two titles and being your douchebag champion, chicken shit champion, but still manages to hold all these titles, I'm not mad at
it's
this.
It's the same
at all.
Jay Lethal approach when Jay Lethal has like four
it's
people
different.
Helping him.
It's different. Lethal won clean.
No, he did win clean.
Like
good
he,
move by
he,
them. That was smart.
He beat Jay Briscoe clean, and people know that Jay Lethal can wrestle in ROH. So that it's much different. Rollins is like
people don't know Rollins can go.
They know Rollins can go, but this is theater. This is WWE. ROH is all about wrestling. WWE is half wrestling, half drama, and half theater. Well, that's three halves. That's too many halves. But what I'm saying is that Rollins is a guy who can. I hate that he's not winning clean. I hate it, but he's a guy that can carry two belts, and I'm not. I see no problem with it because I can see him legitimately carrying two belts if he was a face.
We touched on it earlier. What was your favorite match of the weekend? Outside of the,
I mean, of course, Banks and Bailey, but man, I love, and it wasn't my favorite, but the four way tag team match with New Day and PTP and Lucha Dragons, I love that match because I thought it was going to be terrible. Lesnar and Undertaker over delivered, like definitely. They, but that tag team match was great because I just didn't think it was going to be that good. I thought it was going to suck, and that match ended up being a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, but I guess I would put Rollins, Cena up there, even though I hated the ending. You chop off the ending, I'm perfectly fine with it. Like, the ending just ruined that whole shit for me. So it's hard to put that as the second best match, but I'll probably have to agree with Dave and just say it was that ladder match, just because the build-up in the arena and everything was so perfect. Like, Finn's entrance, Kevin Owens faking like he's asleep and like disinterested in the chair when like the whole demon shit pops off, and then them just going into it, and then the theater to go get the ladder, and then they end up with two ladders, and even the ladders are like decorated and taped, and then you have them putting stuff together, and it seemed like it was well told and well thought out. The botch at the end didn't bother me. The coup de grace off the top of the ladder is cool. It's a good moment. Like, in, I guess, when watching it live, it was like, okay, like it was all right. But when you get like the still picture and the still frame and you just see Finn all the way up in air, both legs tucked, and you see Owens laying down, that's going to be a great picture. That's going to be an NXT moment right there through history. So that was probably my second favorite of the weekend.
Well, see, this is my problem with that match. The problem is I've watched too many Kevin Steen matches that were ladder matches, and I've seen the work that this guy can do in a ladder match, and so it was very protected ladder match. It was very, you know, let's go the speed limit in this match. Let's not take it too far.
Two fights in 2 days, three.
I know, but
3 in 3 days.
I give it to Kevin Owens. I think he's the best heel in the business right now. He's a bona fide heel who can legitimately win, and nobody would say boo. It's just that ladder match. In a vacuum, without having to consider Raw and SummerSlam, it was average. I've seen great ladder matches. This wasn't great. It was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest.
No, I've seen Balor work better. I've seen Owens work better. It almost felt like it was like, all right, let's go half speed so you don't get hurt. So it was good. I don't know. Like the Rollins Cena match probably was my second best match that week because Rollins, of course, the guy can go.
Yeah,
he can 100% wrestle.
The transition into the AA was just insane.
And the smiley ad on his face. It's funny that we go back and look at the Shield and we think, what are they going to do with Seth Rollins? He looks like the odd man out. Ambrose has all the charisma. Roman Reigns has the muscle. And then like Rollins just exploded on the scene. But people saw it when if you watch ROH.
And like if you watch like their old like Ohio.
Drama. Well, yeah, you watch the OVW stuff, but you watch him as Tyler Black in ROH. And he was always there, but nobody knew that personality was there.
Yeah.
Like, when we'll go to Raw now. When Seth Rollins said, "Are you ready?" Like the DX, yeah. Yo, he gets it. Like, Rollins gets everything right now. He knows exactly when to kind of play to the audience and then pull it back. So going back to Raw, the Dudleys coming out.
Crazy.
I lost my shit.
I was throwing shit. I couldn't believe it.
So great that they're back.
And like, I was going through everything with them. I was like, chest slap. D-Bot, get the table. I was wilding out.
Yeah, I loved every moment of it. The thing that was made it even better is that New Day was so great before that. With Xavier Woods playing the trombone, Big E doing his dance. Like, yo, everything about that match was great. And then the Dudley boys came and just took... For a small minute, when Xavier Woods was standing outside of the ropes and he was looking like there's three of us, I was waiting for Spike Dudley to come out.
Oh, that would have been
yeah,
so
Yeah, I was
dope.
Waiting for Spike Dudley
the
to come
running,
out.
The running, like...
Yeah, I was
running bulldog.
I thought it was like there's three of us and there's two of you. What are you gonna do? And I thought Spike was gonna come out. Then I would really lost my shit. But good enough, they came back.
Primetime players. It was dope, like to see them like get in their face. And
Titus O'Neil was pretty good on the mic too. Him and JBL John back and forth, and Titus keep dissing JBL. Yeah, I enjoy it.
That's a good dynamic. I mean, Lucha Dragons. You put him in any type of match. I'm sure we'll see a TLC match here in a second between those three teams: Primetime Players, Dudleys, and New Day.
I don't know if Darren Young's ready. Titus needs some work. Titus is like Kane in a ladder match. He's not climbing the ladder. He's not going anywhere near the ladder. He might use it on you, but he'll never climb that shit.
Yeah, nah, he'll just run into people with that shit. And he's going to get put through a table. He's never going to be asked.
No, never.
To climb the ladder in anything.
No.
If anything, he boost Darren Young like on his shoulders and take like three steps up the ladder.
Yeah.
With him reaching. And then, you know, you get like some crazy Dudley-ass move off of that.
Yeah, so we also have the return of Sting, which, okay, I just want to put this out there. Why was Sting, when he came out, when they revealed Sting...
In a box.
Why did he look like he's already been in a match? Because his face paint was already peeling. Gone.
Yeah,
like
it was mad hot in that box.
But it was...
It was a sweat box.
It wasn't like smeared. It was like rubbed off. Like he had been scratching his bald spot. Like, I don't understand.
It's itchy. Like, have you been in a box? How long was he in that?
Yo, he was in there standing for a long time.
Like, there was a whole promo cut. The shit had to be wheeled to the ring.
Arthritis set in.
Like, he was just, he had nothing to do. He's just sitting there. He's thinking about his lines and shit. He's just rubbing his head, trying to remember. And then he forgets he got the face paint on all the way up to his fucking hairline. His hairline's in the middle of his head. He got the face paint all the way to his hairline. And so he's just rubbing his head like, damn. And the face paint comes off. What are you supposed to do? Repaint it?
I don't know. The Sting reveal was good.
It's all right. I don't like that angle, but it sets up Triple H versus Sting, which I guess is going to be the WrestleMania play.
Maybe, maybe not. I really don't know where they're going with this. I think they've always wanted to put a title on Sting because he's here, and it's like, let's try it out. It's like when Ric Flair won the title years ago. It's like, you know he's not going to hold it for very long. He's going to get his ass beat the next match. But Sting's never held the WWE Championship. Fine, whatever. If they give it to him against Rollins in some tricky, or have like a dusty finish where you think he won and he's holding up the belt and we get that photo op like Dean Ambrose and you take it away from him, I'm fine with that. I just want to see Sting hold the title. I don't necessarily need him to defend it. Give it back.
Well, you could win it, lose it the next night on Raw.
There's a number of things that can happen. You know, it just depends on the route they're going with Seth Rollins holding this title. There was something else I wanted to talk about on Raw. Oh, Brock Lesnar destroying Bo Dallas. Oh,
he
my God.
Bo leave and Heyman's promo and Heyman talking shit to Bo Dallas and like just walking down the ring. He's just like, Brock, 1F5?
Yeah, just one just for me.
For me, like that shit was great.
Okay, so let's just talk about it before we get out of here and talk about some other shit. The finish. We didn't talk about it with David. Like, we haven't talked about the finish at SummerSlam. The finish that really left a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
It's great. That, like, perfect way to end that, because...
That's a shitty way to end that.
Undertaker wins, and that's what everyone needed. In the record books, it goes down to Undertaker win. But he did tap. So Brock doesn't look weak. He taps.
It was bad.
Fucking
it was
genius.
It was poorly executed.
Okay.
Let me... Because it was poor... Like, not that it was a bad idea... But to have the timekeeper, who, if I remember correctly, I don't think he could have seen the tap either from where he was sitting.
No.
To have him ring the bell and then Charles Robinson jumps up and he's all confused and the low blow, the way it was handled was piss poor. They should have just brought another referee out there arguing with him after the match or something of that nature. The ringing the bell thing, because if you've ever been to a wrestling live event, you don't get commentary. So you have no idea what's going on. So when they rang the bell, you know, like, mad people, everybody in Brooklyn was like, the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
The low blow and then the middle finger. It felt like anticlimactic at that point.
Okay.
Because we were confused. The idea was great. I just thought it was executed horribly.
It was well played on Raw, though. Because it made for a great promo by Heyman. And Brock could still look like a beast and look pissed off. And you go about your merry little way.
I just, what do you do? Like, okay, obviously Taker's not coming back anytime soon. Maybe not so obvious. I don't think he can just keep, he's a special attraction. You can't get, just use him at Night of the Champions. You use him at maybe Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
You know, but it's weird because he's a heel in a way now because of this. Because
of the low blow.
And the tapping. Like, he did everything very heelish. So to have him meet Lesnar again in a Hell in a Cell match, I don't know what it does for either of them in that kind of a match. Like, I don't know if, like, Lesnar going over on Taker does really anything for him. It doesn't really elevate him. He's already the beast. If Taker wins, he's viewed as, you know, you lost, and you're kind of a heel. Like, the momentum going into Mania, how do you play this match going into Mania? Because Taker can't go into Mania weak if he faces Lesnar beforehand.
It's so rough because if you see Taker again before Mania, he has to get crushed. And whether it's Hell in a Cell and he's carted off in an ambulance, or if it's a buried alive match and he's buried, then you can play the whole angle of resurrection again, dead man, last hurrah.
He's tired.
That's his only shtick. Like, that's how you bring him back, and that's how you save him and make him strong again after a weak moment. Now, if you just, like, okay, cool, let's just forget about you, that's a pretty shitty image to leave in people's mind for, like, 6 months.
It's just hard. Like I said, it's a lot to risk. Like, if you bring him back and he loses, you can't go into Mania week, especially if it's your last WrestleMania. Can't go into Mania week. But you can't really go over on Lesnar and make him look weak either in a Hell in a Cell match. There has to be something fishy that's going to happen that's going to ruin this entire match. I don't know. I kind of just don't even want to see it happen. I just don't know how you do it. Like, Undertaker's, I mean, the collapse was a work.
No, I don't want to see him anymore. Like, I didn't want to see him in this one, and he surprised me. You can only surprise me so many times. Like, I'm good. I'm okay with Taker. Like, his legacy is cemented. I would like to see him show up and be inducted into the Hall of Fame automatically and walk off. Let him be.
Yeah, he's got to wrestle at Mania. He has to.
Well, induct him and let him wrestle afterwards like Ric Flair, and then you're done.
Well, yeah, this is it. This is the last.
And then round. Who does he wrestle? Like, if he doesn't wrestle Brock, who does he wrestle?
I've loved the idea of him wrestling Cena. I've loved it forever because they've never, as far as I can remember, I don't think they've ever had a pay-per-view.
Everyone wants that, though.
That's why you should give it to us.
Yeah, like, everyone wants, in the regard of every wrestler wants that last Taker match.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to be clamoring for it. Like, I want to be Taker's last match regardless. I heard an interview with Finn. Finn was like, I would love my debut to be Mania versus Taker.
It's Cena's match. Like, that is...
If Cena will go over to him. Cena
he can lose. Do the job. I'm just saying.
Easy.
It's like we just talked about with Dave. Either you turn Cena heel in that match or Cena just loses clean. And that's the one person that you could say he's not too strong for Undertaker, and he's not somebody you just like, oh, yeah, he's going to lose. There is legit curiosity on who wins and who loses that match.
No, definitely. It's just weird how to get that build-up going. Like, and then now, like you said, Taker's a little heelish. So that's does that saying, keep Cena the face?
It, what happens is you go into the Rumble, because you know this starts at the same time. You go into the Rumble.
Every year the Rumble starts.
And perhaps you do it like this, hypothetically. Cena's talk. It always happens, like, you start talking about the streak before it happens. You start talking about opportunities you didn't have. So Cena talks about it in, like, December. And, you know, how Lesnar ruined this or Lesnar ruined whatever. He wants another shot at the title. Whoever has it. Taker caught Cena at the Rumble. Cena's shot at getting the 16th world title. And that's how you build it.
All right.
And you build. And, I mean, Undertaker, Cena, for a few months of build, just talking shit, would be great. Cena was basically carrying a lot of the Rock promo for a year by himself.
He did.
He can do the same thing with Undertaker.
And whoever gets the Undertaker match is going to have to just carry that.
Yeah.
So that's our wrap up of wrestling. We talked about everything. We had a great guest on. Now we're going to go to break. When we come back from break, we have another guest from you.
Yes, man. For y'all that watched the Power season, and my man Rotimi's on here, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And he, my man's a boxer fan, so he's going to talk about Cotto and Canelo a little bit, too. I know we talked about it offline. He's excited about that fight. So stay with us. We'll talk about that. You get your fix about power. A little bit of information about season three, too.
Stay tuned. They say this is a big, rich town. I just come from the poorest part. Bright light city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down. I just happen to come up hard. Legal or illegal, baby, I gotta make it. I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises.
And we got a special guest here on the corner. My dude. Met him a couple years ago, and he's been on the grind. Man, can you introduce yourself to these people?
What's up, everybody? I go by the name Rotimi, a.k.a. Dre from Power. I'm an artist, singer, songwriter. I got a song out now called Lotto featuring 50 Cent. About to start filming season three. And, yeah, man, Jersey boy. What else y'all want to know about me?
See, the thing is, y'all don't even know this cat's super talented. I seen him. I met you at Sundance for Imperial Dreams, and yeah, we kept in touch since then. And it's good to see that that everything's kind of blowing up for you, man. That this season of Power was nuts.
Oh man, it was a blessing from God, man. You know, honestly, it's just incredible to see how people gravitate towards it. Like, people really plan their Saturdays and the rest of their weeks around something like this. So to be a part of something like that is amazing. It kind of feels like the finale was our Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, so let's go back a little bit and talk about how you landed the role. I interviewed you recently for a publication that it's about to run, called Ozzy. You talked about that you was going out for the part in Empire and ended up doing Power. So talk about that a little bit and how you got this role.
Well, you know, first I just want to say, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. And I have to understand that, you know, even nothing is guaranteed until you sign the dotted line in any situation. So that was kind of the situation over there. You know, they promised certain things, and Fox has believed in me and loved me for what I had done. But, you know, last minute they decided to go elsewhere. You know, the unfortunate thing was I kind of like turned down other things because I thought I had an idea that I got it. But, you know, I don't fault them. They found something that worked for them. But, yeah, I auditioned a couple months after for Power, just like everybody else did, and made it to the final round where it was just, you know, stars and the Lionsgate and everybody, and the rest is history, man. The rest is, you know, where we at now.
So when you auditioned did you know you were going out for the role of Dre, or were you just auditioning for a part at the time?
I knew who Dre was because they give you like a write-up of the character, but not to the extent that I knew once I had gotten the role, or actually when I made it to that final round, they told me the arc of the story, his character arc and everything. So I knew that it was going to be a role that was going to be around for a while, but I didn't know exactly like truly who he was and, you know, what he was to the story.
So, I mean, Dre was like a super mysterious character, and he's like mad dark, didn't say a whole lot in the beginning, but he was like cutthroat. I mean, you played a drug dealer before in Boss, and how was this role different than some of the other roles that you've tackled?
You know what it is? Like, how's this one different?
Yeah.
This one's different because when I played Darius in Boss, it was a softer side of him, you know, that immediately took on. He was in love. It was like a Romeo and Juliet type of story. So I kind of focused on that. And what I focused on was making sure people felt bad for him and hated her. Mm-hmm. You know, the irony of it. This one, Power, he's cutthroat. You don't know him too well. He's coming from a place of just straight anger. You know, he doesn't really... you don't really get to know him until the end of the season, where now the vulnerability starts happening. So it's kind of like reverse, where Boss was softer to harder. This is now, you know, harder to softer, but it gets real complicated. So I think it's probably the most complex role I've been a part of.
Yo, I haven't really seen soft from Dre. Yo,
here you go, man.
As the season progressed, you know, like, I shot you with Texas. I was wondering, I was like, man, is Dre going to make it? Like, Because you see him around, and it's like, damn, man, like, you want to know more about him, but you never know what series, what's going to happen to Cats.
Right.
For you, like, you knew he was going to last, but as you was, you know, reading the responses via Twitter and social media, well, how were people responding to your performance in that character?
I mean, everybody, I mean, you know, humbly saying it, everybody thought it was really good, you know, and everybody was just, the fact that everybody's like, yo, I don't know if he's with Kanan or Ghost, is that means I did my job, because that's how I was supposed to play it. Like, I want you to not know, does he really like Ghost? Does he really like Kanan? Does he really care for either of them? Like, I wanted you to be in that, and it's coming across, man. When I started seeing my Instagram blow up, like, every 2 minutes is another 3,000 people. That's when I started realizing, okay, this is real, and you start becoming more MCMs and bays and all type of craziness, you know. So it's been dope, man. And from what I've seen, it's been nothing but love, and I think people are really excited.
Yo, but I mean, you know, for those who are listening and haven't watched the season finale, it's tough luck, buddy, because I'm about to talk about this. at the end, I'm still not even sure if Dre is with Ghost. I mean, like.
Good.
Do you know exactly what's going on? You got to wait till next season too.
Oh, no, no. Well, you know, we have an amazing creator of the show, Courtney Kemp Agbo. So she sent us a write-up of season 3 and broke down to us the motives, you know, what exactly we want to get across in the character, where we're going, who we side with, you know. And I'm very aware of it. I'm very aware of it. And it's funny because I really want to talk about it, but I can't say too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because, I mean, people want to know. So let's also talk about the season finale a little bit too, because, I mean, yo, Jemele Hill and they were talking about it on ESPN. It's been talked about everywhere.
They were talking about it. Yo, and you know what's crazy, man? That's my favorite show. And I knew it was real when one on First Take and His and Hers, they mentioned Dre. And when Jemele, they actually tweeted me saying, like, they're huge fans of the show and they love my character. So, and anybody who knows me knows that, like, sports is my thing. So to be talked about on there and everything, it was dope, man. So shout outs to them.
Yeah, so the season finale, one of the questions that I do have, and I thought it was interesting, is, like, there was so much that was happening, right?
Yeah.
And Kanan lived, and I thought that was wild that Kanan got through
it. How do you know he lived?
Because he wasn't there no more, bro. Oh. Like, he made the great escape through the fire. Like, right. Dawson, he's like Superman. I mean, yo, I know you can't give up too much on season 3, but God damn, he's got to be coming back with a vengeance after this.
I mean, yo, if you got burnt up, man, what would you do?
Be salty as hell.
Exactly. So, I mean, hey, you know, I don't think he's going to try to kind of shake anybody's hands, you know?
Yeah, man, how much more complicated can this shit get? It's, man, like, there's so much going on.
It's literally, the level of complication is probably like a 17% out of 100. Y'all haven't seen anything yet, man.
Come on, man, you hurting me. You hurting me with that.
17%. I'm just letting you know, bro.
Woo! All right, so what I want to ask you, man, is I know you, and, you know, you're like, you smile, you're a happy dude.
Yeah.
You had to be ultra grimy. I don't think you cracked a smile the whole goddamn season.
I wanted to smile, man, but you know he's not that type of guy. And you asking me a question?
No, I was gonna say, like, shifting that gear and just like I mean, it wasn't that you weren't just smiling. It was like the permanent snarl that, like, somebody ruined your life years ago. So, is there gonna be some more backstory, Andre, that we're gonna learn about that explains why he's the way he is?
Oh, 100%, man. You know, like. All I can say is I'll be definitely working a lot next season, because I just can tell by the schedule they gave us. So, in all that, you'll understand a lot of Dre. You understand the relationship with him and his daughter. You know, you understand his motive and what's going on. You'll start seeing his similarities to certain characters. For me, I had to kind of channel. I had to kind of channel what I saw when I was younger, like with people I grew up with. You know, I grew up with. In a great neighborhood, but certain people just had, like, the anger in them, you know, and they were my friends, and usually my parents would take these type of people in, and I would just see the negativity and anger in their heart. So I remember that, and I would kind of just channel that and bring it to where I am, because I'm not that dark of a person, but I've been through things in my life as well too that certain emotions can, you know, get that out, reveal that. So it's just pulling from that, man. And I tried one time, you know, Kelsey Grammer taught me a method, you know, that when you're angry and want to stay angry, you take a cold shower during the day. Like when you wake up, take a cold shower, and that feeling of just pain, like, yo, what the hell am I doing? Maintain that for the scene. Remember that actual feeling. And so that kind of, you know, method acting a little bit kind of just, you know, brought the best out of Dre.
That's kind of dope, man. So let's talk about what you got coming up in the future. I want to talk still about some film stuff. Like, I always mentioned Imperial Dreams because I thought it was so damn phenomenal, and a lot of cats don't know about it. First of all, is there a date for this movie yet?
You know what? It's funny, man. We actually talked to them a couple days ago, and it's going to be 2016. You know, John Boyega, my brother, man, he's one of my best friends. He's a lead of Star Wars, so they want us to wait till that comes out, and then they were actually waiting as well to see the success of what Power would do for me. So, you know, the marketing dollars and stuff like that. So, but you don't need me if you got Star Wars, you know what I mean? So, 2016 is coming out. I don't know exactly when, but early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, y'all about to strap the rocket to both of y'all backs. Y'all about to take off. I mean, I guess the timing can't be better with that then, right?
Oh, man, it's the perfect timing, man. And I got another movie with Lorenz and them coming around the same time. I think that they want to do it, so... You know, Scott is good, bro.
And that's called Deuces. So let's talk about what's that about.
So Deuces is like a mixture of Ocean's 11 and Inside Man.
Okay.
It's like and like Takers. You know, it's one of those. It's about Lorenz Tate and me, Lorenz Tate and Rick Gonzalez. We play like these traffickers who are just extra fly, and. The FBI, CIA, everybody can't bring us down, so they send Lance Gross to infiltrate our group. But then he becomes one of us, and he loves the life. So you start seeing his, you know, breakdown and the core of who he is, and it's dope, man. One of us ends up being a mole, so you just start seeing the craziness of it all.
Man, brother, when I interviewed you, you said this. Have you gotten the romance comedy role yet? When is this being offered to you?
Man, you know, I that is the goal. I'll keep putting that out in the air. You know, I want it. People ask me all the time, like, yo, what kind of movie do you want to do, man? What's your dream role? Honestly, and you can laugh or whatever, but like something like a different version of like The Notebook would be so dope to me because that's a classic that everybody has seen or heard about. And it's just, you know, channels true emotion, man. Like, I love dramas like that, romantic dramas or romantic comedies. But hopefully in 2016, when I finish filming season 3, we could work on that somehow.
Bro, if you wasn't a bait of these chicks doing this, if you did The Notebook, good God.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
All right, so let's talk about the music, man. The music's on deck. So well, you got an EP coming up. It's a long time coming. So let's talk about that, man. You with G-Unit, right?
Yeah, we're working some things out over there, man. You know, it's a beautiful situation for me to have a platform, man. Like, and anybody who else knows me, I've been working on this project for years and years and years because, one, the stigma of being an actor, singer, or whatever that people, you know, want to break down, you know, I wanted to fight through that and make sure my project is flawless. And I just want them to see that, yo, this dude is just a total package. He's talented. Take out the boxes. So I wanted to, you know, foolproof that. And so it's taking time. And we released Lotto right now. It's doing well. You know, about to hit radio. It's already got some placements. It's on First Take right now, ESPN and the show and different places. And it's doing well, but the project itself is so dear to me. It's like my baby, man. And like, I'm finally done recording, and y'all will get that. And you'll just hear my story of who I am at this point in my life. So it's pretty dope.
Okay, what do you have an idea of what the next joint's going to be that's coming off of that?
We actually having a music meeting about it next week. So I have my idea. The label has their idea as well, and we kind of agree on it. So we'll just see, you know, what the head honcho feels, too.
Okay, cool. So now we're going to shift gears because this podcast is hip-hop, boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling. And I know you like boxing, bro. So,
yes, sir.
right off the top, man, Floyd Mayweather's getting ready to fight Andre Berto. What are your thoughts on this fight? There's a lot of people that are mad critical on Floyd, like myself, for fighting Andre Berto.
Respect to Berto. I think he's an amazing fighter. Personally, would this be the fight that I would want to see? No. Honestly, I feel like I'm a Canelo fan, and I'm a Cotto fan too. So I would have had him wait to see the winner of that to fight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's my opinion, because that's going to be an epic battle. So I feel like whoever wins that deserves that. But Berto's dope, man. Like, and again, boxing is one of those things where you don't know anybody can get knocked out at any point in time. So, you know, I'm excited for the fight. I think it'll be good. But, you know, I think Floyd's going to take it.
I mean, come on, son. Like, this is Andre. We ain't got to be PC about this. We know Andre Berto ain't got nothing for Floyd. I mean, Floyd just beat Pacquiao.
Hey, you never know, bro. You never know. You never know. Because it might be that one hit. You know, Berto got a dope-ass power, you know, power punched out. So, I don't know.
Yeah, nah.
I don't know. I think Floyd will win. I'll say that. But anything is possible.
So, Floyd's also, you know, everybody talks about where he lands on the greatest of all time list. What are your thoughts, man? I know he calls himself number one. Obviously, that's what you're supposed to do. But do you have him in your top 10 all time?
Oh, top 10 easily. I have him in my top three.
Really? What's your top three then?
I don't have an order, but I will say personally, as who I love to watch in my lifetime, that I've seen even highlights as well, I'd say Muhammad Ali, then I'd not in order. I'd say Floyd, then I'd say Mike Tyson. Those are my favorite three. I like them all differently. I think what Floyd has done for the game can arguably make him the greatest, because he literally is undefeated and has changed the game and, you know, has, you know, financially taken boxing to another level. But again, Muhammad Ali had a whole culture behind him and, you know, a whole race, you know, behind him. So it's between those two. Mike Tyson, again, you know, knockout king. But those three, man, I think those are like the pillars.
So, I mean, but, you know, and honestly, for you, it's what you've been able to see and what you like. That's how your top three comes about then, right?
Yeah.
You're not into that whole game where it's like, you know, like Willie Pep, because you never seen a fighter, like Sugar Ray Robinson.
I don't know who Willie Pep is. Is that his name?
Willie Pep.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, no, the spiders don't know who that is, so I can't say he's the greatest. If you show me like 3 hours of his tape, I'd be like, yo, dude is probably the greatest. But I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't know who the guy is in terms of, you know, literally watching him.
See, and that's fair. That's fair. There's a lot of cats out here that start throwing around names and they ain't seen him fight before. They're just going off of things.
Nah, you got to keep it real, man. I can only go by from what I've seen in terms of what I've personally seen, not by saying, no, he's the best because of what I've heard. What I've seen, I think those three are the best.
So, heading into next weekend, there's a couple fights. Abner Mars is fighting Leo Santa Cruz, and Shane Mosley's fighting Ricardo Mayorga again after like 7-8 years.
8 years, yeah.
Can you give your thoughts on either of those fights? How do you feel about either of them?
I think Shane is dope, man. I think he's an all-time great, too, and I'd want to see him win, man. I think for his age, and I think for what it stands for boxing, it'll be good to see him win, and he got a heart of a champion. He's the only one that almost took down Floyd, honestly, you know? Mm-hmm. So out of that respect, I think he's the man for that fight,
yeah. I mean, Shane, I talked to Shane the other day. He told me he wants another run at Floyd and Manny Pacquiao because he said he was hurting both of those fights. He said he was injured. You believe this cat? I love Shane, Floyd, man, but I'm just, when he told me that, I was like, yo, you were hurting both of those fights? Come on, bro.
Nah, bro, I don't know. I know you was hurt during the fight. Before the fight, you know.
All right, there's two other fighters I want to talk about. What's your thoughts on Gennady Golovkin, Triple G? Me and my man Glasses Malone argue every week if he's the real deal, if he's a fraud. What's your thoughts?
I'll say this. I don't think he'll touch Floyd at all. Well, I think he's dope, but I think it's overhyped a little bit.
Damn, you on that road too, man. Damn. Gotta
find
somebody.
You think he's the truth?
Huh?
You think he's the truth?
I think Gennady Golovkin's the truth. 385 fights, amateur and professional, never been knocked down in his life. Never been knocked out. Silver medalist in the Olympics. Man, that's a strong dude right there.
Who's he fighting next?
He's fighting David Lemieux. in October and at the Garden. Actually, your ass need to be there for that one, but that's at the Garden.
Is it the Garden?
Yep.
Well, actually, my man's works at the Garden now. Yeah. Are you going to be there?
I might be, man. I might have to take that trip out there, bro. I might have to do that.
Come back with your boy, man. I'll be filming, so I'm going to definitely need the break.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Why are you coming out here for the Mayweather fight?
When is that one? September what? September 13th?
September 12th.
I'll be filming, bro.
Man, they got to give you a break just to come out for Floyd weekend in Vegas, man. You ain't seen what it's like when Floyd gets down to Vegas.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, I grew up in Vegas in the Mike Tyson era, and that shit was crazy. That's when I see Pac at the casino and Suge Knight and them. This is like the equivalent, man. Like, Floyd brings him out. He brings him out for real.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
You got to make that trip. Last one, man. Cotto and Canelo just got signed. And Woo! That's the joint I've been waiting for.
Forget I'm waiting else. For that, bro.
Woo. So what's your thoughts, man? Cotto or Canelo? Canelo's the young Canelo. Scrap. Canelo?
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't even let me finish the question.
Nah, Canelo, bro. I think the only person in the world that can beat Canelo is Floyd.
Damn.
Yeah, he's that ill, bro. I think he's that ill. Because I remember seeing him. I forgot who he was fighting, but it was an undercard for Floyd maybe like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was like, yo, this dude is the truth, man. Like, the truth. He got the total package. It's just he got schooled by the great one. But I don't think anybody else could beat him in the game.
Man, so okay, give me official predictions, man. Cotto and Canelo, do you think it goes the distance or Canelo knocks him out?
I feel like Canelo will knock him down, but it'll go the distance.
Okay. All right, unanimous decision?
Yeah.
Easy money?
Easy money.
All right, that fight's November 21st. Can you come out to Vegas
I'm
for that?
I'm coming to that one.
All right, we're going to make that happen. We're going to talk after this, and I'm gonna make sure that you get some tickets to the fight.
Hey, man, hook your boy up, man. Take care of your boy out there, man.
You know I got you, brother. So, look, man, I know you got some other calls to do. I appreciate you taking the time out. You know, give everybody information. If anybody who ain't following you by now, they're probably stupid, but give them all the Instagram, the Twitters, and all that good shit.
All right, well, now you can follow me on Instagram, Rotimi Music, Rotimi Music. Follow me on Twitter, Rotimi, Rotimi. And Lotto featuring 50 Cent right now is on iTunes. We going up every week with sales, man. I love all y'all. I appreciate y'all. I just got on Snapchat, too. The Real Rotimi.
God damn, man. You do Snapchat, too?
Bro, they got me on it, man. I'm trying. Like, I try.
That's OD, man.
No, man.
Word. So, I appreciate having you, brother. And like I said, if we can get you out of here for the Canelo Cotto fight, we'll have to have you live on the show because we do specials at the fight. So we got to bring you on board to talk about
it. Heck yeah. Let's do it, man. One time.
Word up, my dude. All right. So we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Respect, man. Shout out to y'all.
All right. Peace.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm back. Great interview by my man, Andreas.
Yeah, man.
And Power, which I still got to catch up on. So it's crazy that I haven't seen every episode yet.
Well, it's good that you know, I did this interview without you because we talked spoilers and we talked season 3, we talked story arcs. So, yeah, sorry.
Yes, I'm going to have to skip this own portion of our podcast so I don't get the spoilers. But I'll catch up in the next couple of weeks and I'll be on it. And then I can listen to it. But now we got to talk UFC.
Yeah.
It's really just a bunch of announcements of stuff to come, but we're hype off of it. And everyone's hype off of it. December and January are going to be crazy.
Yes.
And we have Rousey versus Holm.
Which I'm not hype about at all whatsoever. Not a single bit. You want to start there? We can start there.
Let's start there. That's where everyone starts.
Okay. So why is Holly Holm deserve this fight?
Because Holly Holm is 34 years old and she's not getting any younger.
So?
And she's an unknown, a person you can sell. Because she's an ex-boxing champion, number one pound for pound in the world.
Who?
Holly Holm, she was number one pound for pound in the world boxing when she left.
Women's boxing is like yay big. So
semantics.
No, it's not semantics.
Was she number one?
Is Holly Holm deserving of this? Like
boxing versus MMA, you build
that's
it.
Horrible. All right, listen. Holly Holm has not looked impressive in the two UFC fights.
She has not, but the general public does not know that.
The general public does know that because they watched her.
Casual fans. The same people who thought that Kohea might have had a chance.
Listen, nobody thinks Holly Holm is ranked what, ninth?
Ninth. Generous ninth. I don't know. You do the ranking. She's a generous ninth.
So come on, man. She deserves this title shot. Are you serious?
Everyone else has gotten beaten. So Misha what? Twice.
Amanda Nunes has not.
Nunes has not.
So Holly Holm is going to get wrecked. She's not ready. She's, you say she's 34, but it doesn't really matter because she's still relatively new to this MMA thing. She hasn't worked on her ground game. Her jiu-jitsu's a little suspect. All she has is stand-up. Yeah. All Ronda has to do is get her hands on her and the fight's over. So where's the intrigue in this fight?
They're going
to
sell her as someone with knockout power.
Who doesn't knock people out.
A boxing specialist. And casual fans aren't going to know the difference. The same casual fans who say, oh, she's running away from Cyborg and Cyborg could beat Ronda, who have never seen Cyborg fight. And it's just a hype train that everyone's created. Because Ronda, when she gets to fight Cyborg, is going to destroy her. So, it's the same thing with Holm. It's an easy sell. And Misha, for the third time, and it's not a trilogy fight, both fights ended in losses. It's an easier sell for the UFC. So, they're going to sell it, and it's going to be one of the biggest pay-per-views of the winter. That simple. And people are going to say, oh, Holly Holm, she can knock Ronda, or her hands at least are good enough to give Ronda a test, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to build it up and ignore her last three fights.
This fight does nothing for the women's division. It's actually, it hurts the women's division more than anything else. Holly Holm's clearly not ready. She's ranked number 9 and getting a title shot.
She is not ready. We saw Conor jump a bunch.
No. Conor won meaningful matches impressively, knocking people out like Dustin Poirier.
Correct. Poirier, Holloway. Who's his two biggest fights?
Well, I mean, obviously Poirier was probably his biggest fight before he got his title shot.
And that was Poirier. He
knocked out Dennis Seaver and Diego Brandão. But he knocked all of them out. He was impressive. Like, the eye test. Like, when we talk about Gennady Golovkin, he's not winning fights. He was decimating people.
Yes.
Holly Holm had a split decision in her first fight. And Marion Renault, she looked good against because Renault's not nearly as good of a striker as Holly Holm.
Correct. And she still danced way too much.
But that's what I'm saying. She didn't engage. So, but you're ranked number 9. If the rankings are going to mean something, a number 9 should never get a title shot. Beth Correa never should have got a title shot.
No.
So,
but she had the buildup.
So here, but yeah, they had the story. There's no story with Holly Holm. It's just a fight. It's just Ronda running somebody else over. I wrote a piece for Yahoo that said Ronda needs to take a vacation, a paid vacation for fighting. And it's hard to tell somebody who's as good as Ronda to not fight. But her running through the division like she has is doing nothing for the division because you can't build anybody who you legitimately think can beat Ronda Rousey. If Holly Holm won, beat a Misha Tate or beat a Kat Zingano or beat an Amanda Nunes, then you might start believing that she has a chance.
But she might lose to them and you lose the payday and the marketability.
You don't lose the payday because Ronda's the attraction. Nobody's watching Holly Holm fight.
It's true.
It's like at a certain point, it was all about Mike Tyson. It didn't matter who you was fighting. You just wanted to see him kick somebody's ass.
My latest article was saying Ronda has that Floyd Mayweather kind of effect nowadays.
It's a Tyson effect.
It doesn't matter who she's fighting. You're tuning in.
Yeah, but this is a Tyson effect because Mayweather fights go the distance and you complain when the night's over.
It's very true, but you're going to watch because it's Mayweather. Granted, you watch to watch him lose.
Like, you watch to watch Ronda
win, yeah, but still, it's like, okay, it doesn't matter who the hell she's fighting. So I guess it is like Tyson. Like, okay, she's going to win. You know she's going to win. You're just going to see how impressive it is that she's going to crush someone.
How fast it's going to be. So what I'm saying is, like, I don't want Ronda to fight anybody. Unless it's going to be Cyborg, there's no use in her ruining anybody else in the division. Build up some new stars. And the only way you're going to do that is having them fight each other. If you keep plucking one and pulling them into a title fight, because losing the way that you lose to Ronda Rousey, like people are like, losses help your career. No, that type of loss destroys your ego.
Oh, yeah.
And anything like Kat Zingano's never going to truly be the same. To know that she was like, I'm going to give it all that I, oh, tap out. Like, she never really time to even think about the fight. Like, Holly Holm losing to Ronda's not going to be good for Holly Holm in the future because she's not going to learn anything, but I just got my ass kicked by Ronda Rousey. Don't let Ronda beat her in the stand-up. That'll just make it worse. But the whole point is I kind of want to see Ronda take a break. If it's not Cyborg, let these girls duke it out. We got to find somebody else that's going to be able to fight Ronda Rousey. Or we have to at least create the perception that somebody can beat Ronda Rousey. Nobody can beat Ronda in this division right now. Unless a Buster Douglas comes along and catches Ronda falling asleep at the wheel at one night.
Yeah, that's the key. And people hope that it's Cyborg. Nunez has good hands, but I'm still not sure she has knockout
power. None of them are ready. Nobody can beat Ronda Rousey.
So she can't fight until like the next chick who is 17 right now comes up the ranks?
And that's what I'm saying. I can't tell Ronda not to fight. I can't tell the UFC to sit their biggest attraction on the shelf. In a perfect world where these things wouldn't matter, it would be best if Ronda just kind of stayed away and let these girls build each other up. She's at least 2 to 3 years ahead of the rest of the division in terms of skill set. Most of these girls specialize in one discipline, and that's it. Like, Misa's a great wrestler. Zingano's she's a good striker, but she's great at jiu-jitsu. Holly Holm's a great kickboxer. Mm-hmm. But everything, where else is a hole? Ronda's good at everything. And the crazy thing is you watch her, and she's getting better every fight.
Yeah, and she only started, I mean, when she started, it was like her judo carried her a lot.
Well, yeah, her judo was it. But
she's gotten better.
Yeah, her hands.
These other chicks now have to realize, I have to get better. And Misha says she's doing that now. New boxing coach. Whatever. She says her hands are better than ever.
I don't believe her. I'll have to see it. Like, I've been watching
her last fight. Her hands are way better than they used.
Were better, but she still throws wide. She's not sharp down the middle. There are things that Ronda will pick her apart. Like, Ronda's 20 times better than she was when she fought Misha Tate. Misha's like 2 times better than when she was when she fought Ronda Rousey and took her 3 rounds. Not really the same level here. Like, Ronda's learning curve is ridiculous. So, no, I'm not looking forward to this fight. There'll be another first-round finish unless, like, the Fertittas and Dana's like, hey, Ronda, make this dramatic for us, please, because we can't have another Instagram finish. So.
But, I mean, Ronda tried before to make her last fight against Kohea as long as she could in the last 30 seconds.
Punch her in the head. Like, her mom was like, listen, stupid. Like, that's her mom probably talks to her. Hey, stupid, you don't want to do that. Get her out of here as fast as you can. Just like when they talk about this fight coming up, when she's in camp, it's going to be, hey, stupid, don't get wise and want to start throwing hands with her. Use your judo. Continue to win.
Take her
because
down.
You lose, everything you have is gone. Movies, everything is out of here. You're finished because you're an action star. Like, you're not a woman. You're not a real actress yet. You do cameo appearances as yourself. Like, you're Ronda Rousey with a gun in The Expendables. You're Ronda Rousey dating Turtle in Entourage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's got a couple of movies coming out, but you got to keep winning because you lose everything. Like, everything's built on your invincibility.
The only thing bigger than a Ronda Rousey fight is a Ronda Rousey loss and a Ronda Rousey rematch.
But only if it's Cyborg. Because if she loses
to Holm, Holm is huge, and then the rematch at 200 is gigantic.
But what sucks is Holm will lose to somebody like Misha Tate.
They got to protect Holm. Like, whoever beats Ronda has to be protected.
Ronda losing freshens up the division. It gives it a new car smell. But it hurts Ronda more than anything. Because even he's like, oh, the rematch is even bigger. For who? It's not bigger for Ronda. Yeah. She's not invincible anymore.
It's like Silva when he lost, and you're just like,
yeah, the veil of invincibility is lifted. It changes everything. Yeah. Mike Tyson was never really the same guy when he lost to Buster Douglas. It exposed him. Ronda can't lose. So she's got to keep winning. But I just need a break. I want her to take a year off and, like, have a women's tournament. Do something. Like, do anything you can. But I can't tell the woman not to. That's why I said a pay vacation. Like, she can't take a vacation
we'll
and not
still
be
pay
paid.
You. Just stay away.
Yeah.
What other fights were announced? We have Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz is fighting Michael Johnson. You know, people thought he was going to fight Khabib, but whatever. Michael Johnson, who got robbed in his last fight.
Yeah.
But that's actually a pretty good fight. UFC Fight Night, it is.
I don't know what to expect from the Diaz brothers at this point.
But that's why. That's why it's a good fight. Michael Johnson's a good fighter. Not an elite fighter, good fighter. He's still, you know, he's still getting better, but him against Diaz at Fight Night, I'm not mad at that fight.
It has potential. I'll say that. And then also we have a heavyweight fight that was announced.
Well, Junior Dos Santos and Alistair Overeem. Long overdue.
Overeem, yes.
Long overdue.
Overeem's looked decent his last couple of fights. I'm not mad at Overeem. Like,
he's not the Overeem that was in Strikeforce. He's
no.
Not the Overeem,
I mean,
was
he got
pride.
Rocked a couple times, and then he was just like shot for like a year or two. But he started training again. He went to Thailand, I think, on like a trip, came back. It was like, I'm back to same guy.
He's with Greg Jackson's gym now. You know, it's going to sharpen him up.
Jackson MMA?
You know, fighting Junior, is a grudge match. It's a legit grudge match. He was supposed to fight for the title before Overeem got popped for testosterone.
And yeah.
So, good fight there. Just announced today in the middle of the podcast is we got Frankie Edgar and Chad Mendez headlining the Ultimate Fighter finale here in Vegas.
Huge
we're so spoiled.
So spoiled. So, we get Connor
and Aldo.
Aldo the night before.
With Weidman and Rockhold.
And I feel like there's something else.
Well, there's Jacare and Romero, which won't last. Like, somebody's going to get hurt. That fight's not happening. But
it's going to be dirty. So we get that. and then we're going to be riding that high and then come back the next day and see Edgar Mendez.
I think it's the week after. I think.
It's the 12th. There's nothing the week after.
No, I think the, I have to look, but I don't think it's the day after. I don't think that, well, it might be.
Because the fight was supposed to be December 5th, but got moved back to the 12th because Bocelli.
You're right. You're absolutely
so
right.
So I believe it's the 13th, which would have been the week after, but now it's the day after.
Well, again, I'm with it. And then we roll into January with Rousey home. Joanna Jędrzejczyk is fighting Claudio Galdeja, probably if she's healed up. If not, I don't
That's
care.
That's an interpreter's dream right there. Like, just those two names?
Yeah.
You're earning your money pronouncing those every day.
Cut
week.
The check. Cut the check. But it's loaded. UFC is loaded. They're actually doing a Go Big press conference next week before the DJ John Dodson fight.
So which I almost forgot we had to go to.
Yes, which will be an excellent fight. So
yes.
MMA's got, you know, it's a nice little upswing. Yeah, I mean, we got Robbie Lawler and Carlos Condit fighting in Australia.
Yeah. We have the whole Houston card.
Yeah, the DC.
DC?
DC and Gustafson.
And that also has Big Rig.
Yes, and Tyron Woodley. And
Woodley. So, I mean, that card
fresh
is
fresh out of Straight out of Compton. My man, Tyron Woodley was in the... If you watch the movie very closely, he's part of the lynch mob. In
friend of the podcast.
Yeah, the homie.
So, that was great. UFC's doing their thing.
Yeah, they're putting together fights that people want to see. Now, hopefully all these fights can stay together because that's the only thing we got to see.
Injuries are always looming.
There's always a possibility that we'll roll around to 194 and nobody that was announced on the card will be there.
Yeah, because Aldo is shaky at best and Weidman is Weidman. So he only fights once a year because injuries keep
like
him out
I said,
the rest of the time.
Jacare and Romero, they've been trying to put this fight on. This is the third time they try to make this fight happen.
If it can stay together, though, it's special.
We shall
and
see.
And then what we have tomorrow... If you're listening to this, it might be today, Wednesday. We have Floyd Mayweather open workouts.
Oh, yeah, we got Floyd Mayweather
in the sweat box.
Yeah, we got to go to the hot-ass gym. Listen to Floyd defend his decision is why he chose Andre Berto.
Correct.
They're going to give us Ishae Smith and Badu Jack to talk about their fights that, whatever. it's, man, yeah.
We've done it. A lot of times,
yeah,
but this might be the last time. Do you feel sad? Do you feel like nostalgia
no,
there?
This fight, I don't feel sad at all. Like, I keep telling people, I don't care about this fight. From a fan perspective.
It could be the last time we see Mayweather.
No, I'm good. Yeah, like, right, I'm just saying, like, as somebody who's, I've got a lot of tweets and DMs, and you're a Mayweather hater. No, I don't hate Mayweather. I think Mayweather is the best fighter of our generation, hands down. Fighting Berto just does him no favors, and it leaves him open to criticism that I thought he could try to avoid on the tail end of his career. So it's frustrating. Like, I used to defend him because I legitimately think that Mayweather can beat anybody in this era that's around his weight class. Gennady Golovkin might be too big for him.
Yeah.
But Mayweather is so good, he shouldn't be fighting somebody like Berto on his way out. So when I see this fight happening, you can't sell me this fight as something that's going to be mildly competitive. It's just impossible for me to... It's like, it's worse than Lesnar versus a 50-year-old Undertaker because at least you know it's scripted. This is going to be Mayweather going out there to get rid of Berto. And Berto's done nothing to get this title shot.
Nothing to say that he can last against Floyd Mayweather or can challenge him in any way.
Nah, man.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens at the gym tomorrow. That's going to be dope. We didn't do a pound-for-pound list today, which is odd, but we had two guests.
Yeah, we were pretty loaded show.
Yeah, so next week we'll be back with a pound-for-pound list.
Yep.
I'm going to set up the mailbag again because
we got to get to that.
To do it because we want to know what you guys are talking about. You guys can feel free to hit us up on Twitter at the corner LSN. Same thing on Instagram. My Twitter at Kel Dansby.
Mine's at Andreas Hill. Oh, and for you people who just like reading my stuff, or some of you people would be like, that's vanity. Stop talking about your own shit. Ice Cube retweeted my article on Two Dope Boys the other day.
Oh, so dope. I like that.
And yeah. And I had to get into an argument with Bomani Jones about, yeah, it just got ridiculous. She doesn't follow my Twitter feed for that. But go ahead and read that. And just stay up on it, man. Like, next week we'll be talking about 191. We're going to be gearing up for that. And we're going this weekend. We're going to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yes.
Well, hopefully Kel goes. Oh, shit.
Well, I got to buy my tickets here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, Kel's got to buy his tickets for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in a couple minutes. And next week we'll actually talk about it, because for those of you who have no idea what PWG is, get with the program. It's like the best wrestling out there. It's the most fun that you'll have at a show.
Some of the biggest acts right now came through PWG.
Indeed.
So we'll have all that for you guys next week and a couple more guests, I'm sure. Man, it's going to be a good spring. Spring, shit. Where am I?
Winter.
Fall.
Yeah, get it together.
It's fall. See, fall, you, winter. You fucked up too.
I don't give a goddamn.
It's summer still.
It's a good fighting season. You want to get punched in the face? It's a good time to watch fights.
All right. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week. We're out.
Peace.
All right. So that was supposed to be the end of the show, but we are back. And Andreas is laughing at me because I got off. I got my credit card, and I'm waiting on a PWG website. I'm all hype. I got my credit card in my hand. Like, I'm going to buy my ticket. We're going. It sold out in less than 2 minutes. It said 8 o'clock. The tickets go on sale. They went on sale at 58.
No, it wasn't sale at 8. It was 8 o'clock, and Kel jumped online, put it in his cart, got to the checkout, and it was like, bitch, them shits is gone.
So I was like, we're sorry. There's no more tickets. 2 minutes? What the hell is this? SummerSlam? 2 minutes for PWG tickets. So I'm tight right now, and I got to go through back channels and eBay and message boards like it's 1999 to try to get a ticket. So we had to start the podcast again and rant. Ain't this some shit? Always happens to me. This is another goddamn it, Kel moment.
Yeah, man. Goddamn it, Kel. And my boy Ryan sat there and thought about it. Was like, hey, man, it's kind of pricey. Do I have time to buy them? Nah, son. They're gone.
2 minutes.
Y'all move too slow, bro.
We need a PWG sponsorship or something. Until next week. We're out. I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.